This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
It is, ladies and gentlemen, FUBAR Radio. The time is 10 a.m. and you're listening to the UK's largest unregulated ad-free radio network. It's a radio revolution and you are part of it. I'm Mark Dolan and as always, today's show will be highly news reactive with 3 hours of the biggest stories being talked about around the country and across the globe. We've also got top guests, our live social media centre and our in-studio news feed. So if anything happens on the planet, you'll be the first to know. That's if I can get the sentence out. Now, obviously, I'm excited. That's why. Who wouldn't be? You'd have to not have a pulse if you weren't excited about Tuesday, because as always, Tuesday is a red letter day in our calendar. Perhaps I'd be more accurate about this. Pink letter day, because it's that time of the week when we give the toilets a lick of paint. We put out the bunting and we coat the microphone in Swarovski crystals as we welcome the new queen of the airwaves, the saviour of 21st century radio, model, author, businesswoman, icon, wearer of impossible heels, the one and only Katie Price. Hello, Katie.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you. You're looking very tanned and healthy and well.
Oh, thank you. Well, it has been nice sunshine, hasn't it?
Sunshining. We've got such a busy show. Amazing guests. So much to talk about. How many stories have we got piled up here?
There's so many, but I know what it's like. We say we go through them and then we just go off and talk about other things. But
of course we
so
do.
What?
The conversation will be flowing. It's exactly 10:06. We immediately want your thoughts and emails and tweets at FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com. We're going to get started in just a few moments' time with a shocking story of a mother of three disabled children who is facing manslaughter charges for their murder, which is a shocking, shocking story. We'll look at the ethics of that. And also, have you gotten to that point in your relationship where you're scheduling sex with your partner? OMG. It's FUBAR Radio. Let's have a quick track now from the one and only Ben Folds. Do It Anyway.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio. The time is 10:11 on FUBAR. And Katie Price, that song was by Ben Folds 5 called Do It Anyway. Do It Anyway. Kind of your life philosophy, isn't it? Just do it anyway.
Exactly.
That's
just
how
do
you
it.
Roll. Just do it.
Rock and roll.
Don't think about it too much. Now, got lots and lots of stories to get through. At 10:45 today, we're speaking to a man on the phone who became a stay-at-home husband. And we're going to find out how that worked. Very, very interesting. Are you a stay-at-home male? My brother-in-law is a stay-at-home and my sister is the breadwinner. It's a very, very interesting dynamic. Does it work? Is it emasculating? Lots and lots of stuff we're going to talk about there. Front page of the Daily Express. Let's take a look at the papers. Breakthrough on Alzheimer's. Simple new test will help millions beat cruel disease. Also, a misleading photo, I would say, Katie, on the front page of the Daily Express. Wife's brave smile for Michael Schumacher. Coroner faces the world again as her husband recovers after finally waking from his coma. Now, I'm not sure I agree with that sort of editorial thrust there, because let's be honest with you, this poor man is far from recovered.
He's been in a coma for so long. I remember it, like, seeing it on the news, the breaking news that he had the accident. And he's only recently just come out of a coma or moved to another hospital, I believe.
Correct.
And I think they're saying that he's now smiling, but I still think there's a long way. Honestly, it's such a sad story, but I don't think he'll ever be like, you know, how he was before. I mean, I've seen a film called The Crash Reel. I don't know if anyone's seen it. I've said it before, about a guy, a snowboarder. And you can buy it on DVD. And the whole story about him, he had just one accident snowboarding and his life has completely changed. It's so sad and it sort of reminds me of him.
Yeah, and what's so tragic about it is going from being such an athletic and physical and sporty person to nothing. It's like it would be one thing if you were a lazy git anyway and always sat on the sofa.
Yeah.
But it seems to happen to, do you remember Christopher Reeve, the guy that played Superman? And it's just the stuff of nightmares. Do you worry, because I know you're very, obviously, a passionate horse rider and you've got, what head of horses have you got now? How many creatures?
Five of them.
Okay. And does it ever concern you about what would happen if you fell off?
This is the thing, because I started it when I was younger. You're sort of more ballsy, aren't you, when you're younger?
Yeah.
Fearless. And as you get older, you know, to start horse riding as an adult, I think, you know, you can be quite scared of it. But they say motor racing and horse riding is one of the most dangerous sports.
Mm.
And it really is. At the end of the day, you're on a horse and it can do anything. You know, if it wants to charge off, it will charge off. It's how you fall. Like Christopher Reeves, you know, he fell and look what happened.
I know. And he was like really, really skilled. I think it was a polo match or something, wasn't it? And he was...
Something. I can't remember. I know he fell off a horse. But, you know, any sport, anything you do, actually, you have to be careful. But, yeah, it's really sad, really sad. I'm like everyone. I just want to... see him cut, you know, you just want to see him. I bet he doesn't even look the same. I bet he's lost all his weight and I just bet he looks like a different man. And it must be stress for the family.
Definitely. Well, it's that terrible thing where in a sense you have to start the mourning process, even though your partner and your dad, as of course he's a father as well, you're in that process of saying goodbye, even though the person's still alive.
And you probably have to change roles, because now he was probably the macho man one looking after the wife, and now the roles have changed. But to me, that's your wedding vows through sickness and through health.
Well, that's right. I remember Tony Blair's sister-in-law, Lauren Booth. Mm-hmm. She was married to a very sort of thrusting, macho sort of guy, and he was big into cycling, and he was like a hard drinker and just a real character, just a real man's man. And he was cycling. I think they lived in rural France at the time, and he was cycling down some lane and he slipped and came off his bike and got head injuries. And after that, it completely changed his personality, and he was very meek and very fearful and very scared of everything. And I think even just like in the bedroom and stuff, he just wasn't up to the job anymore. Oh, and God. She was still had her husband, but really she lost him.
Yeah, it's sad. There's lots of cases, you know, there's lots of different diseases and medical things you can get, you know, like, was it the
motoneurone disease?
Yeah, so imagine that one.
Shocking.
That's shocking as well. Knowing you're all there, but your body, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. You shouldn't take life for granted at all.
No, I mean, people do have conversations with their partners, especially when they get older, and they do say, look, if I'm not compos mentis anymore, please just switch the plug off. Yeah. I don't know what you think, but I would just say, yeah, unplug away.
A perfect film for that would be The Notebook. Perfect Love.
Really?
Have you seen that?
No,
The Notebook.
No, no.
Yeah, you have to watch The Notebook. That's what you call true love. You know, his wife has got Alzheimer's, and every day he reads her a story about their love life, and he sticks by her.
Yeah.
It's a really good, inspiring film.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, wow. Brilliant. But so there you go. Well, at least this woman, clearly Schumacher's wife, what she has done, she's attended this event, and she's trying to just have a normal life, which is what you have to do, right?
Yeah, you do. Like you say, you can't just sit in a corner and, you know, nobody's going to help you. You've got to help yourself and be strong and try and get on with it, really.
Front page of The Sun. This is a headline that I can absolutely sympathise with. Page 3 saved my life, although I think for different reasons. In the case of Wendy Bush, that's an unfortunate name, isn't it?
Especially when you mention the page 3
Dear Lord. Right, anyway, Mama 4, Wendy Bush, today reveals how page 3's Checkham Tuesday breast cancer awareness campaign saved her life. She found a small rash on her left breast that she would have normally ignored, but because she'd read our advice in The Sun, she went for a checkup, say The Sun, which revealed she had cancer. She's had successful surgery, so that's a good news day.
I learned something this week. So I'm making everyone aware, because I was not aware of this. You know, smear tests.
Yes.
Okay. I presumed, because I've had these children, you know, all my kids, I presumed they check you for everything, even like a smear test. I thought they checked you for everything.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I've had a reminder through about a smear test, and I ignored it and said to my friends that, I don't need that. I've had babies, they check you. And apparently they don't check you. So now I have to go and have a smear test. I never knew that. I thought when you have a baby, they check you for everything. So anyone out there who's had kids and everything, still go and get checked, because I had no idea.
Well, you would think it'd be a bit like when you get your car serviced.
Yeah.
You take that they're going to check the tyres, they'll have a look at the engine.
Exactly, but they don't.
Have a look at the brake pads. And in fact, unfortunately, I mean, you don't have to answer if it's an awkward question,
no,
but did
fine.
You go NHS or private to have the your babies?
The one in
or did
France,
it vary?
Harvey and Jet, they were at NHS, and the other two were private.
And did you notice there was no difference in terms of how you didn't get the smear tests in either case?
Well, I didn't know. I just thought, you know, I'm not being crude, when they swab you, do your blood tests and everything.
Yeah.
I just presume they check for everything, because they say, we're going to check you for everything. But apparently, it's nothing to do with his smear. So I actually haven't had a smear for I don't even remember the last time. So
blimey,
I'm going to have to have one.
Actually, get you know what? Let's get that book because absolutely right. Is it annual? Producer Amanda, do you know? Because you're like you're a bit of a health guru, aren't you? You look after yourself.
I do my best, Mark. As both know.
She's got the. She treats her body like a temple, Katie Price.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You have to take your shoes off before you go in.
Oh, really?
Nicely done. Nicely done on a Tuesday morning. Let's talk about smear tests.
Hey!
It's important.
If I'm honest
it's really important.
It's my favourite subject, and I've got a lot of Google images here on my iPad. So tell me this. How often are you supposed to have a smear test?
It's every 2 years.
Every two. Did you know that, Katie?
I've never had one.
What?
You've never had
one? That's what I'm saying. I thought
never.
By having babies, you get checked. But I only found out because I had a reminder and I thought, oh, I don't need that. I've had kids, you get checked. My friends were like, no, you don't. They don't check that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that.
It's so, well, you've been really lucky. I'm very pleased that, you know, you've been so lucky.
Now, I've only just said it because you're talking about, you know, the breast thing on page 3 that I thought I'd mention the smear thing.
No, well done. You should share it.
I presumed that you get checked and obviously you don't.
Jade Goody. Now, It was actually cervical cancer that took her life, wasn't it? And that would have been
would have picked that out.
Poor lady. I mean, she lived. Her life was chaotic at best, wasn't it? I mean, her financial situation was chaos.
Yeah.
She was making a fortune, but she wasn't paying her tax. She obviously wasn't getting all the medical checks. So I suppose in life you could just say, all right, you can live as chaotically as you like, but make sure that every 2 years you get your smear test.
I think they should do something where cars go in for MOTs and servicing.
Yeah.
They should do that for people, to be honest.
As a full body.
Yeah, full body, everything.
Yeah.
Because people are always like, oh, I'm too busy for this. Oh, I can't do that. And you never know. You could be the one. You always have the attitude, oh, it won't happen to me. But that so isn't the right. So
yeah,
I am
going to
go and get checked.
Do you know what would be nice if maybe Halfords or Quick Fit just had a few beds?
Exactly.
Yeah, and a grease monkey called Tony could say, all right, love, lie down. And you know what I mean? He's just fixed a Vauxhall Astra.
Just wipes his hand on a rag.
Yeah, an oily rag. Some bloke, he's on £6 an hour. Do you know what I mean?
So even when
short-term
you get your
contract,
car service,
it's
sometimes
better.
I come back and there's still no screen wash. And I'm like, well, I thought they'd done a service. Don't they fill the screen wash up? And apparently they don't.
That is, by the way, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Because
so
this is where I can mention something much less important than smear tests. Every 2 years, ladies, they are required to do that, and then that is.
Oh, really?
That is, but it's not quite against the law because that's a little overreactionary. But
yeah.
They're supposed to, because if it's empty and the MOT, the car's not safe. The MOT requires that there's fluid in there, so they've screwed up on that one. So I'd speak to whichever dealer it is, and I would give them a bit of a rollicking.
And also, talking of cars, I think now with passing your test, we should all learn how to change a tyre, how to check the oil, how to put screen wash in, just simple things like that. Because otherwise, we're wasting the RAC time because we're driving along, I'm a girl, red light comes on, you're like, oh my God, what does that mean? I think we should get taught the basics.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea.
I have no idea how to change a tyre. And I might break my
and
nails
for safety.
Doing it.
Oh,
no, no. But it's true.
And for safety as well. If you're you're driving along at night and your tyre goes, if you, you know, and you could be stranded on the road for a long time waiting for somebody to come and help you. But if you can just do that by yourself.
Mind you, RAC are quite good. If they know you're a lady or you've got kids, they do come within the hour.
Yeah. I just wonder whether if you were on the roadside with a flat tyre, in your full regalia, okay. I think I suspect that help would be forthcoming. Because I've been like on the M3 for 7 hours, nothing. I've had my thumbs up, and I've actually unbuttoned a couple of buttons on my shirt just to try and zhuzh it up a little bit. Nothing, no reaction. But you're right. So that's it. Well, that's our headline: is the smear test every 2 years. Well done for sharing that. And you've got a team of people right outside. We've got
I've
a
got
PR
Princess,
consultant,
my brother, and Andrew.
That's it. Then
so
we've
don't
also
try
got
and say massive entourage.
Well, wait a minute. We've got Big Steve, your security.
Oh, piss off. Is there a bloody security out there?
We've got
a little rabble
of fans. Then there's the Paps from the Sun and
there
the Express
the
and the Mail.
Outside,
are they outside? But that's it. Well, let's get among your busy schedule, let's get you booked in. And let's anybody that's listening who's female, please do that as well. Many more stories from the papers. We've got so much work to do today. I'm very excited. Let's start as we wish to go on with this.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It is 10:27 and we've actually got too many stories for our own good, haven't we, Katie Price?
I know, but we don't even get through the stories. I just talk about other stuff in...
What you need to do is you need to be less interesting, please.
It's my mind. It just goes off, doesn't it, and talks about different things.
And it's why we love you. At FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com, we'll be very, very inclusive of your tweets and emails today and your reactions to a variety of stories. Actually, here's one that we were going to get into, which is very, very shocking, which is about a mother of three. Who is she's been convicted for manslaughter for the killing of her three disabled children, which is absolutely tragic story. Her husband, who's a wealthy hedge fund manager, was away, I think working in South Africa, and they've adapted their home. It's a fabulous home in southwest London, and they've got it all adapted for the children. Obviously, it's very, very challenging and very, very difficult. I read this story in horror at the idea, because this lady, she actually smothered her three children while her husband was away on a business trip. Now, what's happened is that it's looking like manslaughter because of diminished responsibility, because basically the woman's had a meltdown. Clearly, she's had a meltdown.
Yeah.
Probably not intrinsically a bad human being, but she's just gone, you know, she's just lost it. And it's a tragedy, it's a shocker. And I was reading the story, and apparently it was quite interesting that they were saying that while she was in court, she was weeping at the verdict, and her husband just looked stony-faced. He didn't look at her, he just looked straight ahead. He's obviously a broken man, his world has fallen apart. But as I was reading this, and this is a woman who has killed her three children, three absolutely beautiful children, they're sort of pictured in the story, I had a sort of flash of sympathy, because I just thought, actually, maybe we shouldn't judge this poor woman too harshly, and rather take the view that it's a nightmare and you try to put yourself in that situation. Obviously, you wouldn't do it. But is it worth being sympathetic, or am I being just a sort of too, you know, milk-livered about this?
Well, on this one, obviously, I've got a disabled child. And when you're disabled, it can be like on a spectrum of anything. You can have it mild or you can have it, you know, really strong. I don't know so much about what these kids had. It was the spinal muscular, I can't say that word, atrophy.
Yeah.
Now,
I think what happens is they call it, we believe, I mean, Amanda, again, calling you up for a bit more medical insight here, young Amanda.
Yes.
But I believe that brain-wise, someone suffers from this is fine. They call it, which is a horrible expression, floppy baby syndrome.
Yeah.
But I think it's basically the muscles. I think it, isn't right. It? It's just muscular.
It seems to be respiratory muscles, so lots of twitching as well, spasms. So it'd be very difficult. They wouldn't be able to do anything for themselves. So even though they're kind of their mind's developing, the normal rate as it should be, they're unable to do anything,
including eat food. I think they have to
can't
be fed with liquid food.
So that tube fed.
Because if their respiratory system's not working properly, then obviously they've got a danger of choking. They probably can't chew their food properly.
Yeah. See, I've got friends, obviously, by having Harvey, friends with children with all different kinds of disabilities.
Yeah.
And all I can say is that having a child with disabilities, it is, when I say hard work, I mean, it's hard work, and I would not change it for anything. You know, Harvey has so many medications each time a day, and if he doesn't, he'll die, basically.
Really?
So
really?
He has to have meds, or that's it. And it's probably the same, you know, with her children. It's full on, 24/7. There's obviously no excuse to obviously murder your children. But if you think it was three of her children had it, I mean, it's not like a stress, but, you know, her husband's away, and it is full on. I, you know, like I say, I can't understand how someone would murder them, but I kind of feel sorry for her, because it would be hard work, draining for her, and she, I don't know, maybe she thought she's not getting a reward back, or I don't know.
I completely agree. I mean, I wonder whether it's just one of those things that it highlights, because these people are of means. They're a family of means.
And they kitted their house out for the children.
The house is, there's a picture of the house. Absolutely,
it's amazing.
Beautiful house. They've had lifts installed. Stuff that, you know, almost nobody could really dream of doing to their house. They've done in order to accommodate their family. But I wonder whether it raises this issue, which is that this issue of caring, especially for a disabled or unwell child or relative, and you get an issue now where you get a lot long-term carers suffer from great. They're like, you get, for example, an old couple and the wife decides she's going to look after her husband.
Yeah.
I think it's the relentlessness of it. I think it's the 24/7 nature. I think the fact that there's no break, it just doesn't stop.
But this is the thing I always say to people. You can get respite. You can get help. Like with me, yeah, I have like a nanny Monday to Friday for like Harvey. But now he's getting older, he's sort of getting easier. So I'm going to sort of back off having the nanny now and do it more myself because he's more vocal and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, he can board at his school, but I like him to come home. In the summer holidays, they're taking him for 2 weeks holiday. And I'm absolute devil. I feel so guilty
that he's
going on holiday because I'm like, but I don't want anyone to think it's because I haven't got him. But he went camping last week with the school for the first time and he absolutely loved it. And everyone's saying, Kate, he will enjoy it. It's not like you're letting the school have them. He's on a school holiday. But, you know, some families, like this woman, three kids, it must be so hard work. It must be hard work and mentally hard work. You know, she's the timings, the feeding. So
and
anyone
also
out
the
there,
sleep deprivation.
Don't be afraid, to ask for help. There is help out there. You can have respite. I think they had a nanny. Was it the nanny that... found the children, I think.
Is that right? Yeah, I didn't. To be honest with you, I found the whole story so sort of gruesome that I didn't really want to...
But, you know, her poor husband, obviously he must be devastated because in his mind, he's made this beautiful house. They've kitted it out for the children. They've got a nanny and he went to work thinking everything's okay and come back and, you know, his whole life is destroyed. I don't know if the mother spoke to the husband. You know, you don't know what's happened, but... If you've got a problem or anything, do not keep it in. It's important to release and talk about it because there is help. Never be embarrassed to say you're finding it hard work. Just never be embarrassed about anything because people would understand it's hard work.
I think you're right. I think that is the thing. I think it's what a lot of parents feel they have to do, which is to give the impression that everything's okay and I'm coping and I'm fine and I'll be all right. And this story proves it doesn't matter how much money you have.
No.
And even if there's a nanny around and stuff like that, you're still shouldering the burden of it. And if this woman had said to her husband, look, I just need a bit more help, he would wish that she had had that conversation with him. And instead it's like, no, I'm okay. I think there's one other thing, which is that when you are the stay-at-home parent, and we're going to talk in a slightly more lighthearted way with a guy who decided to do that after a couple of songs in a minute. But I wonder whether if you don't have a job and you're the stay-at-home parent, you feel like you ought to be able to cope because he's out working, probably doing 12, 14-hour days, and there's that feeling of pride in yourself that you, no, I don't need help because it's that sort of, I don't want to be seen to need help.
Yeah,
I should
there's
be
no
able
such
to.
Thing as failure with kids. You know, everyone takes it different. Kids are hard work. Being a full-time mum is a hard work job because you're constantly on the move all the time. And as I was saying about when I'm out and I see families with kids in wheelchairs or adults, I can appreciate how long it took them to get them ready, get in the car, make sure they've got all the equipment they need to actually have a day out. It's all right with able kids, you just bung them in the car and say, come on, let's go. But when you've got someone with disabilities and stuff, I appreciate what they've gone through, you know, what they go through. It's not easy, but like I say, you're never a failure. Always talk about it if you've got a problem.
How did you cope? I mean, you obviously are somebody that just gets on with stuff.
Yeah, lots of people say, oh my God, Harvey's so hard work, but they adore him.
Yeah.
But I don't know any different. You know, like every night I have to dress his leg, meds, injections, and even I hate needles myself.
What's the issue with his leg?
Well, I got bought a pet pig about 3-4 years ago as a wedding present, you know, these little micro pigs.
All right.
And then it bit Harvey.
No.
So I got rid of it. I didn't get rid of it for bacon, but I got rid of it.
Sure, delicious.
And because of Harvey's compulsive disorders for things, he's constantly picking it.
Right.
And it hasn't healed. So now I have to bandage it 3 times, you know, 3 bandages with zinc and all of that.
The doctor
showed me how to do it. So now it's repairing. We've actually found something that's repairing. It's every night I have to bandage it after a bath.
Good.
And
then hopefully in a month's time or something, it'll be completely healed, will it? Is that the prognosis? Good.
But, you know, it's difficult. He's a 12-year-old going through puberty, you know, going through all of this. But because he doesn't understand it, you know, as a parent, it's like, not that you feel uncomfortable, but a normal 12-year-old would be getting themselves ready, bathed, washed and... So I still have to do all of that with him.
It's incredible. I tell you what, though, but that's it's very impressive. And the reason why he's so lovable and everyone adores him is because you've invested all that love and time in him. So he's very lovable.
Yeah, it's important. He's like I say, he goes to school like an hour away from where we live, purely because it's the best school for him. I could easily put him in a school up the road and just say, yeah, just take him. But I don't do it because I still want the best for him. So why shouldn't he have a chance of the best?
And were there times when you were very low with Harvey, and did you yourself ask for help at times, like this poor woman in that situation, and what's happened here in this story? But were there real lows when you didn't know what to do?
I wouldn't say I hit low points. It was more like, how do you cope? What do you do? What's the answers? You always want answers. And I suppose going to, you find groups, like my mum's a big help with this. You just sort of, I don't know, find out support groups and you go along with them. Then you meet other mums and then you talk about things and then they recommend other things. And
so support, there is always
network. Support stuff. And it is out there, but don't be afraid to, like, even if you say to a doctor you can't cope, you need help, or, you know, and there is help there if you look for it.
Well, I think it's a female quality that is a thing, because when my missus is away, it's just carnage at home. I mean,
make you appreciate your missus, what
it
she
really,
does.
And I really, really do. But it's just everything, just in that morning and you're almost ready to go. And it's like, oh, where's Arthur's school jumper? And that's like
anything. I would say Julian Princess are just as hard work as Harvey, because they don't listen. They answer back. Yeah. They think they know it all. And now Jet's crawling about.
Oh, yeah,
it's
of course.
Like, oh, my God, shut the back door because he's going to go out there. And
I tell you what your house needs.
And I've got another one on the way.
I was going to say, needs a new baby. I think so.
But
I struggle, but I think it's amazing that you juggled this career and also having the kids and maybe not the most perfect relationship situation. and you've done it. And Harvey's a credit
routine.
To you.
I'd say if you
really
kind of
routine,
stick to
yeah.
routine.
And getting everything set up the night before, like getting the school uniforms out the night before, everything laid out, because you can't do it on the day,
organized.
Can you?
No. So, otherwise, I'm like, kids, where's your jumper? Where's this? And they're like, oh, I don't know. You know.
Well, I think women are better at it than men. But we're going to speak after... we're going to play two tracks in a row, and then we're going to speak to a man who gave up his career to look after the kids, and it's basically destroyed his life. Although I think he's happy, but I think he's a broken man. So we'll hear his story very shortly. It's exactly 10:40. Lots of emails and tweets coming in. We'll get to those as well at Foobar Radio, dolan@foobarradio.com. And do you, like Katie, have some sympathy? Obviously, horror and abhorrence at the crime involved, but is there a little bit of sympathy for a woman who has had a meltdown and taken the lives of her three disabled children? It's 10:40, it's FUBAR Radio.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to the UK's largest unregulated ad-free radio network and the home of Katie Price at 10:48 on a Tuesday. Are you having fun, Katie?
I'm loving it. Time's flying so quick already.
It always bombs past. We are going to have so much in the show today. We're going to be joined by the editor of OK Online, who joined us last week. We're going to go Showbiz Central after 11. If there's showbiz stuff you want us to talk about, you've got showbiz questions at FUBAR Radio. And then after 12, we're going to speak to a GP who was obese, was overweight, he hated it, and he himself had a quick fix gastric balloon. And we'll find out what happened after 12 weeks, and it's not pretty. He joins us after 12. And we're also going to be finding out about outrageous behaviour of OAPs on holidays. So we'll get to that. But first, our big first story of the day and our phone guest is Grant Feller. Now, he's got an interesting story, Katie, because he was a very accomplished man in the world of newspapers.
Right.
The Daily Express, none other, which is a great title. In fact, if you have a look at the front page of the Daily Express, it's called the world's greatest newspaper. Right?
Oh, yeah.
In so I'm not sure if that's
print.
Opinion or fact. But hey, do you know what? I always read the Daily Express. It's always entertaining. And he had a very successful career in that cutthroat world of journalism. However, he made a decision a year ago that his good lady wife, who I'm assuming was making a bit more cashola, that he would actually take care, he would keep the home fires burning, and that he would personally hand rear his two children, Joel, 13, and Amy, 16.
Wow.
Now, it sounds like an idyllic thing. I've got a picture of him in an apron, right? ironing, and probably ironing the bed sheets, ironing the socks, right? Having, when his missus comes home in the evening, he's got some pot roast that comes out. All the bread is home baked, right? I'm imagining.
Amazing.
He's probably made his own pasta, I would have thought, you know. Let's find out if any of that came to pass. Because that was that the idea when this started, Grant, that you'd be like the male answer to Nigella Lawson?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But do you honestly think that me holding up an iron with all the bed sheets is an idyllic lifestyle? Honestly, I can't tell you how wrong that is.
I'm rubbish at ironing.
Do you think?
Well, I've tried it. And you know what? I think I'm going to give up. I think I would hire it out in some way. But it's about a year ago now, and I decided to reinvent myself a bit. And I decided that, because, you know, for a long period, I was working at the world's greatest newspaper. And before that, I worked on other various newspapers.
Right, anything but about me, Grant?
Oh, well, only the good stuff.
That's what they all say.
That was me, all right? Anyway, so I decided that I'd missed a lot of the children's years, and I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to stay at home for a while and just figure it out. And I'd started a business at home, and I've been doing little bits here and there, but the thing was that I was going to be at home. And the reason I wrote this piece was that it's taken me a year to realise that really how boring I've become, and how bored I am with this sort of stay at home business. And, well, not stay at home business. I'm quite happy working at home, but being a stay at home dad is not me. And the children, even though I thought that they would love it, have sort of seen me in a different way. You know what I mean? I mean,
do you know the problem with it, Grant? They've got to know you, and they don't like what they found. Because I've had that. I've got two kids, and when you're not around that much, they've got this abstract idea that you're funny and clever and cool and great company.
Really?
You spend a lot of time together. Familiarity breeds contempt, and they suddenly come to that conclusion that actually our dad's a bit rubbish, isn't he? Certainly, that's how I feel.
Well, no, there's something in that. But the thing is, you know, we often get criticised for having short bursts of affection. You know what I mean? You come home and you read a bedtime story and you kiss them goodnight. Or on the weekends, you've got half an hour kicking a ball. But the thing is that those moments have become really very precious. You know what I mean? And you put all of yourself into them. But when you're here all the time, you kind of... It's like this morning I said to Joel, do you think I've become a better dad? And he said, well, you know what? You used to play with me more before. And I find that weird, because I didn't used to play with him more, but he thinks I used to play with him more.
Right.
I think it's really intriguing. I mean, I've got two myself, Grant. I've got Arthur and Peter, who are 8 and 5. And I found the same thing, which is that because I'm self-employed, when you're self-employed, it means that if you're not physically somewhere working, then you wind up holding the baby, literally. And I enjoyed it, but I've noticed that a lot of the children who spend a lot of time with a stay-at-home dad or a stay-at-home mum, they don't actually get the quality input, because when I was at home with the boys when they were small, I was on my iPhone and I'm on my laptop.
Yeah. It's exactly the same with me.
You know, with a half an eye on this and that.
I'm constantly working because I'm on my own. So I'm sort of, you know, doing this and doing that. But before, I used to come home, put my bag down, and that was it. I was at home, as it were. But what I wanted to ask, I'm glad that you asked me onto this show, right? Because I really wanted to ask you, Katie, something.
I'm joking.
It's about being stay-at-home, you know, being stay-at-home mum and stay-at-home dad. And you obviously aren't, because you're fabulously successful and you do so much. And if somebody said to you tomorrow, you know what, Katie, why don't you just give it all up and just stay at home? What would you say?
But you know what? This is the thing that people don't really realise about me. I would say I am practically a stay-at-home mum. I do my work at home, believe it or not. And just because I'm pictured on the front of magazines and stuff, if you actually look at the pictures they use, they change the colour of my tops and stuff to make out it was a different day.
Oh, I see.
I'm actually quite a recluse, and my friends keep saying, Kate, you need to get out more. Because I am always at home, and I'm lucky I can work at home, that I do a lot. You know, I actually do a lot with my children. In 2 weeks, I'm not having a nanny anymore. I'm doing it myself.
Oh, really?
And nobody knows that. Yeah, because... You know, I can't go to everything, obviously, the kids do at school, but I go to their main events like Sports Day, their big, you know, summer...
Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to it, or are you dreading it? You know what I mean?
No, I've done it all, but you know when you go there and you see all the mums together and they're all quite clicky and talk? You know, I haven't got time to be there every week and talk to them. I only go to the main things, and just seeing the kids' faces, knowing I'm there for the main events, is important to me.
You're right.
You know, I'd love... Yeah, go on.
you've got to keep the sort of business side going. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you do become a boring person. And it won't be the same for you, right? Because you have got business interests and you do do an awful lot of things. And the same with me. And I do have this business at home and I'm trying to do different things. But if I was just that stay-at-home dad, you know what I mean? It would be the worst.
Yeah, I definitely have to do something else. I mean, just to stay at home, you know, you can just put on Jeremy Carl, then This Morning, and then Loose Women. Before you know it, your
day
is gone.
No, that sounds quite good, actually. Now
it doesn't. I know what you mean.
Wait a minute, now
and
you
then
put
your
it like
day's
that.
Day's gone.
I mean, I wonder whether, here's the thing is, right, Katie and Grant, I wonder whether the stay-at-home dad, I wonder the dad bit is the red herring, and what's emerging from this conversation is that just having no life except the kids is actually dysfunctional, whether you're a female or a male. And if all you've got look forward to when you wake up is emptying the dishwasher and taking the kids to a playgroup. When I had... Also, because I do a lot of work, I'm out and about, and I've got my laptop, and sometimes I'll just jump into a Starbucks and do some work.
Yeah.
And before I had kids, I noticed a lot of, it was mainly mums, unfortunately, and a few dads. And I used to listen to the conversations they were having around table, and they're all really depressed and bored and isolated and lonely, even though they've got the, you know, how can you be lonely? You've got three kids in the house.
Yeah,
yeah. I kind of know what you're saying, although I'm not going to criticise housewives, because I think they do just the most amazingly difficult job, right? And it is very difficult. But from my own experience, and that's what I wrote about in this piece, is that it just made me a different person. It didn't make me a better person or a worse person, but it did make me a duller person.
How would you have felt if, because your kids are like, your Amy's 15 and Joel's 12, so they are older, so they're more independent, you know, like your daughter's probably into going out with her friends and makeup and stuff, and your son, you know.
I just wanted to walk out of the house in a very short skirt.
Kevin and Perry moment, isn't it? Whatever, Dad, whatever. But if you did have, if they were younger, you know, from the age of like 4 or something, or 3, how would you feel then being a stay-at-home? Because then it really would be full-on.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't want that. I really wouldn't want that. I mean, because you know, I quite like the interaction now, right? And they come home and we do play a bit of tennis and table tennis.
Because they're older,
like
yeah.
And I talk to Amy and we argue constantly about boys and skirts and all the stuff that, you know, you would laugh at, which, fair enough. But I think if when they're little, you know, that would just be... It would be great if I could read. I'd read all the books I want to read, and I'd be doing this and going to the gym, you know. But it would be really quite dull.
So do you work from home? So you're obviously an at-home dad, but do you still work from home?
I work from home and I go to some offices. You know, I'm a sort of a freelance consultant now, so I'm freelance. So I kind of, you know, wherever the work takes me.
So at least you still do something to, like, motivate your mind. You're not just sitting there, like, because, what people have got to realise, you haven't just gone from this... you know, good high-profile job, just to suddenly being at home, ironing, cooking. At least you've got other interests. And this is what people should realise. Even if you are an at-home parent, nothing is stopping you doing other kind of business interests.
And I've noticed something else, which is with regard to the stay-at-home mums who are depressed and bored, is that the kids, once the kids go off, you'd think that the day they're looking forward to is reception, which is the kind of first year at school.
Yeah.
And that's 10 to 9 in the morning till 3:30 in most cases. Now, you'd think that's like they're building themselves up for that, and then boom, they're free. But the problem is that having children, which is the greatest blessing in the world, all three of us can agree that.
Yeah.
But it robs you of obviously your time, your energy, but it can also rob you of your identity and purpose. So what can happen is that you reach that holy grail moment of the first day at school, and I think a lot of these people, they just wander off and think, right, what am I going to do now? And I've noticed in a lot of cases, they have another baby.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, and I suppose my job defined me. You know, I was a psychopathic journalist for so many years, and you know, now I'm a much calmer, nicer person, right?
Yeah, you do sound like it. I mean, so you, no regret. I mean, was it a simple decision? Was it partly because? And we won't get caught up in what your good lady wife does for a living, but was she in a higher pay bracket, or what was the reason?
I was the higher earner. I was the higher earner, and I sort of, you know, I lost my job. And you decided
not to look for a new one?
Well, I decided that instead of going straight back into what I knew, which was newspapers and journalism, I would try and reinvent myself. So that's why I spoke to a lot of people, and I figured out things, and I decided to... to change my career slightly, to become a consultant, a media consultant. But it took me a while to figure it out, really.
The other thing that's tricky in terms of working from home is not being distracted. Because do you not, when I'm at home and I've got stuff to do, I suddenly think, I'm going to repaint the living room now because it needs to be done. And I'm going to tidy up, you know, that cupboard under the sink.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sort it out. And I'll get to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and the house is like unbelievable. It's like something out of a magazine, but I haven't got my things done.
No, I tried. Yeah. The only thing that distracts me is crisps and chocolate and telephone calls to radio stations, to be honest.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, listen, we will keep up the good work. So what's the plan now? Are you going to empty the dishwasher or are you going to bake some bread? What's on the agenda?
I bet you're a better cook. Are you a better cook than your wife? Because people may disagree, but I actually think men are better cooks than women.
Well, you know what? I know that she's working at the moment and she's not listening to this radio show. So I can say that, I am a better cook. And I'm going to go down, I'm going to go and do the brownies and then I hang the washing up. And then And then I'm going to try and earn some money.
Yeah, before I let you go, what's it done for your marriage, Grant? Has it at least given you a bit more energy for your good lady?
Obviously, clearly not.
Oh, dear. You didn't tell me you were going to ask me that question. But no, the marriage is good. The marriage is good. Thank you very much for asking.
You might have another bun in the oven. Hey, hey.
Exactly.
One last hurrah. Grant, you've been a delight. Thank you so much for joining us on the radio. And good luck descaling the kettle. And I hope our paths cross again soon.
Thanks a lot.
Lovely.
Thanks.
That was marvellous. Worth picking up a copy of today's Daily Mail for a read of that story. It's very, very entertainingly written. Grant Feller there and his newfound status as a domestic god. It's FUBAR Radio. Now, I'll tell you what I'm in the mood for. I'm in the mood for showbiz. Between now and 12, we're going to go showbiz central. We're going to immerse ourselves from head to toe. We're going to cover our entire skin in glitz because in the studio is the digital news editor at OK Online, Sarah Robertson. Great to see you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Great to see you.
And
great
the thing about OK Online and digital news editor is that it's the future.
Of course it is.
You're actually from the future.
I am from the future. And I've travelled back in the TARDIS. Yes.
There's all these people walking around with hard copies of stuff.
I know.
And there you are, virtual.
Yes, it's just all going on. We just collect this information as it floats through the air.
Does OK Online get quite a lot of traffic?
Yes, huge amounts. Huge amounts. You know, it's an absolutely brilliant website. We bring you all the up-to-date breaking showbiz news as it happens. So if you want to know what's going on, you know, get on there.
Yeah, because I get the feeling that
OK.co.uk.
What is it? OK.co.uk. Yeah. I get the feeling that that what's really driving a lot of traffic online in terms of news is showbiz. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's that many people who are bothered about ISIS and Iraq and all of that biz, unfortunately, because they should be. But I think that showbiz is, because the Mail Online is quite popular as well, isn't it?
Really popular.
And I think a lot of that is driven by their sort of showbiz thing. It's like we can't get enough showbiz news.
No, but I mean, I think, okay, we're different, you know, because we know what our readers want.
It's more tailored, isn't it?
Oh, you sell it. You sell it.
I'm a good saleswoman.
I think it's a great resource. There's two very good resources, actually, which is OK Online, which is, I've got to say, is really entertaining. There's lots of it. And also Now Magazine, which I buy every week. Tuesday, Katie Price, exclusively. Mm. And I've had a cheeky little look at this week's column, and it's explosive.
Oh, have you?
That's all I'm going
to
say.
I have to be loyal to my brand. I'm afraid.
Well, I'm telling you now, you wait till you see what's in next week.
Do you know what I think?
Can you give us a little sneak peek, Katie?
No, because you might nick the story.
Oh, exactly. Okay, keep your powder dry, Pricey.
We'll have to
wait.
I think it's like this. I think it's like Tottenham Hotspur and Arsenal, Real Madrid and Barcelona. You two, there's space in the world for OK and Now. Do you
it's
know that?
OK, but for now.
Nicely
new
done.
New slogan there.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll work nicely when they merge. Now, let's get straight down to business, okay. Which is about Wimbledon's just finished, and Wimbledon has become, it's, I think, ceased to be a sporting occasion, and it's basically a kind of, it's a showbiz arena now,
yes,
isn't it?
Because,
I mean, I watched a lot of the tennis over the weekend, and all I've mainly watched is shots of David Beckham adjusting his sunglasses.
Of course.
And I saw a little bit of Roger Federer and a lot of Victoria Beckham staring at her fingernails.
Yes. And she looked a bit bored, didn't she? Let's face it.
And one of those, some of them have fallen asleep. I mean, one guy was eating a burger. It's like, what is wrong with you people? Pull yourselves together.
Half of them probably don't know anything about tennis, what's
haven't
going on.
Clue.
It's about, that is the in place to be. Let's go there.
So I don't know where to start. Well, first of all, crime of the century is Cliff Richard and his dress sense. I mean, I think that man shouldn't be allowed out anymore. Because he's a great icon of British culture, isn't he, Cliff? You've got to love Cliff.
Yes.
He's a legend. But no, sorry, those suits.
Do you think they have to go?
Are you familiar with... Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen the suits.
All right. It is crimes against humanity.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to call a couple of those up. I know it's radio, but I'm going to show Katie anyway.
Get my reaction.
Cliff Richard's horror outfits are not the big story, are they?
I think he needs Katie to give him a remodel.
In his 70s.
Again.
Well, then, come on.
No one actually really knows. He's very well preserved.
It's funny because...
He has been going on years and years.
Literally,
isn't he?
He's exactly 73. He was born in October the 14th, 1940.
Oh, well, he does do well. Come on.
He's good at his maths, this old Mark.
But that's not... Cliff is not the big story, is it?
No, the big story, which we had the video on our website yesterday, it's still up there if people want to go on and look on the OK Magazine website, is about this awkward moment between Victoria Beckham and the Hollywood legend, that's Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah,
now, this was hilarious. When this clip came through to us yesterday, we all had to laugh because the body language was just so funny to watch.
Yeah.
You know, it spoke volumes.
Does she know who he is and does he know who she is?
Well, that's the question everybody was asking. I mean, I think obviously they are aware of each other. I mean, maybe she was starstruck, you know, maybe Victoria does get starstruck. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson, Pulp Fiction, you know, huge Hollywood actor, huge Hollywood legend. She could have been starstruck by him. Or
do you think she was outclassed? Do you think it was one of those ones where... you know, when Superman is presented with kryptonite, he just sort of, that's his weak spot, isn't it? Do you think, like, that Posh Spice, Victoria, is very high in the celebrity food chain, but if she's trumped by a bigger person than her, she kind of just dissolves into a vat of her own
perfume. But they'll always be bigger and better than whoever you are.
Well, yes. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you can never be the best. There's always going to be someone that's going to come along. But I mean, for me personally, I'm a huge, huge, huge Victoria Beckham fan. So in my eyes, she can do no wrong.
Right.
But I just had to laugh at this because the pictures, you know, were fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, she sat there sort of with the posh pout.
But she doesn't really know where to look or what to...
Looking very bored, and at one point she sort of creeps further along to David, kind of holding his hand almost for reassurance, and Samuel L. Jackson leans over to talk to David, and the two men seem to be having this in-depth discussion, I presume about tennis or sport, and Victoria just sort of slightly leans back and lets them get on with it without looking like she exchanged a word with Samuel L. Jackson at all. So it was just those kind of priceless photographs that you had to laugh at.
And it's on the website, right?
Yes, so if you go on the website, if you go on the OK Magazine website, you know, you can read all about the story there. I would just like to say one thing, though. In defence, Samuel L. Jackson has come forward today and said...
You make it sound like a scandal.
He's come forward. Yes, it does sound like that, doesn't it? I'm dramatising.
He came out of his hotel and there were some photographers. He stood in front of a bunch of microphones. He made a statement about the issue.
He did. He said, in his own words, "I had a ball sitting next to Victoria Beckham." So he denies it was an awkward moment, despite the photographs and despite the video, which, you know, people can go and judge for themselves when they look at it.
Yes.
But, you know, he said they got on great. There was no awkwardness. You know,
is this really news? I mean, who really gives a shit? No, seriously, they're sitting there watching tennis. Who really cares? Who wants to know their conversation? At the end of the day, Victoria always looks amazing, and the cameras will always be on her. So she probably does. Well, I don't know if she feels uncomfortable.
Are you guys pals now? Are you like besties with VB?
All it is, like years ago, she sang the song "Who Let the Dogs Out" in the Manchester United lounge, and that's where it started from.
Because you were there.
And in a nightclub, David Beckham held my hand behind her back. It was in my book. It was years ago.
Yes.
I haven't got a problem. And I remember a few years ago, Pete went up to her at the Oscars and said, you know, look, Kate hasn't got a problem or something like that. And she said, look, it is what it is. So I don't know what she means.
What does that mean?
What do you think she meant by that?
But to be honest, I'm an adult, you know, that was years ago. I don't care. I think she's done amazingly. Mm. She always looks good. You can't knock her. Anyone who knocks her is jealous.
Are you just being polite?
No, but she's really haven't got problems.
It's not what you really think, is it?
Honestly, I have no problem. I think anyone who knocks her is jealous.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I love her clothes. Would you ever wear her clothes?
I'm not as small as her, so they wouldn't fit me.
Do you think
boobs are bigger? I think theirs are quite small, aren't they?
Yeah, but
she says
that, you know, her clothes, you know, she likes curvy girls and stuff. She does say her clothes are for curvy girls.
Do you think she deserves to be as famous as she is?
I just think, well, she has worked hard, but lots of us work hard. I just think by being with David, she was in a girl band, that's obviously
you didn't have a leg up like that, did you, though? Let's be honest.
No, I think, you know, her being in a famous girl band, she got with this guy, and that's how it sort of happened. And they played it well, had good management.
Yes.
And,
you think a bit of luck involved?
He's cheated on her. She's stuck by him. You know, they've had their ups and downs, but they're then known as this perfect couple. Nobody's perfect. And as you know, they've had dramas in their own lives.
Are you like pals with her? Like, if you bumped into her...
I think she'd avoid me. Funny enough, I was checking in on a Virgin flight a few years ago. And apparently, this is what they said, that she found out I was on the same flight in first class, so she changed her flight to get on another one. That's what they said to me.
I think you can be very flattered about that, can't you? She's
Whether
intimidated.
True, but that is what they said to
Do
me.
Do we
what?
Think Victoria's like, scared of Kate?
Victoria's
scared. But the point
scared.
Is, I don't think Victoria really gives a shit about me. I'm just like a Nemo in a bloody sea. She's more like a whale. I mean, I say whale,
so.
She's like a bigger fish in the sea.
I disagree. I think...
I was going to say size-wise.
Yeah, no, I'm the whale.
I'm sorry. I think she's a tadpole and you're Moby Dick.
Oh, you see, you've got a loyal fan there.
At the end of the day, we're all the same. She's done
can
well.
Can I be honest with you? Two things I'm going to say. One, our lawyers have been in touch and it was never proved that David Beckham cheated. They always denied it. We'll leave that one there. Also, what was Peter Andre doing at the Oscars? Was he like an usher or what happened?
No, that's when we both went
catering.
Years ago. No,
really? Did you go?
Actually.
Did you go to the
Good
Oscars
the
with him?
Was Peter, wasn't
yeah,
it?
We went. Well, I've been three times to the Oscars. I wasn't being big-headed. I was just saying it. Yeah, the first time we went, then Victoria was there, and he went up to her.
Cool.
And said
yeah.
Hello,
and David Beckham. Do you think he's actually attractive?
Oh gosh, yes. Sorry. Just me and Mitch.
Rattled someone's
I'm
cage there.
I'm turning up now.
Sarah Robertson. And what about, where do you stand on the, because he was at Wimbledon this week and he was wearing a brass button double-breasted jacket.
He did look smart.
Impeccable.
Does that
so
fit though?
Handsome.
But can he dress in that old school sort of way while still having the tattoos and the sleeve and all that?
He does get away with
it's
it,
David
I must
Beckham.
Say.
He's lush. He can do no wrong.
What about you, Katie? Is it a yay or nay for you? Do you think he's attractive, David Beckham?
Well, he's not ugly.
Not really your type though, is he?
Do you know,
oh come on Katie, would it kick him out of bed?
I'm not saying anything. I'm not creating no headline about anything. Would I kick him out of bed? He's not ugly, is he?
No.
He's not.
But he's not. I don't think he's your. Knowing your back catalogue, he's not exactly your type, though, is he?
I bloody don't know what my type is anymore.
No, I tell you what. I tell you what's not your type is Cliff Richard. I've googled. What we'll do? We'll tweet.
I'd be slightly concerned.
Although that said, do you know what? Never say never. And I did always say to Katie, and thank God, I think hopefully you're patching things up. But I said to her, and hopefully there won't be a next time, I think you're going to be very happy now, and that's my big hope. But
the thing is, I'm always bloody happy.
I've got fingers and toes crossed here.
But I told her, notwithstanding that I'm sure that relationship is out, but if in the unlikely scenario you were to be single again, I was saying next time, just go for some rich old dude.
Right, this is the honest truth. Before, like, Kieran, when I have met older guys, businessmen, okay, who have been absolutely minted.
Yeah.
But the trouble is with them... People think that I love the paparazzi and I set it up and, you know, my life's everywhere. But I am actually quite private as well. And they don't want to be associated with me because they don't want to see their picture and their, you know, their businesses all on the front of the papers. That's what puts these rich businessmen off. They want my company and they want to have fun with me and everything. And not sex because I don't put out like that. But what puts them off is my... job basically because they're private and they're businesses they don't want it dragged in the papers. That is the trouble I have.
Before we play the next record, both of you, how many dates before you put out?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh Mark, I'm not answering.
Because I'm gonna say I make them wait for at least a year.
What?
No, because I don't want cobwebs.
By then they've normally gone. Yes. But how many dates do you reckon before you put out?
Dwight, it was a month.
Yeah.
Look at me saying it. I've said these in my books anyway.
Peter had to wait because you were
in
the jungle.
Well, we were in the jungle. And it wasn't soon after when we got out. But, you know, at least we got to know each other properly.
Did you get past duty free, though?
Of course.
Good.
We weren't on the same flight.
You were out of the airport, so that's good.
Do you know, you get some stories where people have one night stands and they end up with the guys.
I've got a couple who are married that way. They've got two children.
Really? The only reason why I think it's nice to wait, because I always think the chase is the good thing.
Yeah.
And that man will always remember, if you sleep with them first night, they will always think that's what you're going to do with them.
Yeah.
But there's no right or wrong, because if a guy does it, they never get tarnished. But if a girl does it, they're oh, you're a slag or, you know.
So you would say make them wait, and you say about a month would be about right.
Well, I made Dwight wait a month.
Yes.
Kieran wasn't a month, but it wasn't first, second, third or whatever either.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I have to confess, well, it's in my book, Alex was first, but that was...
Was that lust? Lust at first sight?
Fuck knows what that was.
That was rebound. That was rebound.
Yeah, that totally.
Every woman has had that moment in their dating history, I think. But I think
it's nice to make them wait, because then you know... Mm. They're going to get it anyway, but make them wait.
Mm. What about
make
you?
Make them ballsy.
What about you, lovely Sarah?
Mark, a lady doesn't kiss and tell.
Shut up.
I'm keeping reserved.
Are you keeping
a dignified
silence?
Is
there a gentleman in your life at the moment?
There's not, no.
Isn't there? Oh, sell yourself right now, because I know what you look like.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
Oh, thank you.
Is she your type?
She's so beautiful.
Is she your type, Mark? I'm putting you on the spot.
She would be.
Man.
Yeah, but it's an unhappy marriage.
I'm only interested in single men.
No, listen, Sarah, I promise you I'm going to leave her.
Should we try and get her a date?
Yeah, all I'm going to do with Sarah is I'm going to see Sarah and keep promising her that I'm definitely leaving. My wife doesn't talk to me. She doesn't understand me. You and I have got something special.
I've heard all this before, you know.
When was the last time you was in a relationship?
Just at Christmas.
And how long was you with him?
10 years.
10 years?
10 years.
Why did you split?
It just wasn't there anymore. So,
oh, really? Yeah. So you on the lookout, or you're just going to enjoy being single for a bit?
Just enjoy being single, I think, yeah.
I tell you what, she's very gorgeous. She's a prize catch.
But you're being single, but are you still going to do the deeds, though?
Oh, I feel really awkward discussing this because some people might be listening.
Playing with the hair, nervous.
We have our answer, Katie Price.
I have to be careful in what I say. So
here's a picture of which I think this needs to be a TV show, by the way. But for the time being,
I think
it's radio.
It does as well.
So, but this is a picture of Cliff Richard in what I would describe as a suit.
I haven't got my glasses on, but he looks like something from the Bee Gees.
Suit fail. I don't know if the hair's real or not. And do you know what? We're going to talk about hair and whether it's real or not in a moment. Because we're going to talk about a certain Cheryl Cole. It's 11:25. It's going to be inflammatory. Don't go anywhere. And also, I'm going to apologise to our gorgeous audience because I've got to catch up on lots of tweets and emails. Straight after a little bit of yes, heads will roll.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio. It's 10:33, and we are going to now want to talk about Cheryl Cole, actually, ladies, because we are joined in the studio by Sarah Robertson from OK Online, digital news editor of OK Online. Actually, before I do that, we had this horrific story of a mother who had three disabled children, and she unfortunately she had a complete meltdown and she took their lives while her husband was away in South Africa. Can you just imagine any more human horror than that?
No.
But our point was, can you also imagine maybe what horror and madness this poor woman was going through? It's a weird angle to be sympathetic, but actually the court have agreed, because she's been done for manslaughter, diminished responsibility rather than murder. Unimaginable. But Dara has said, I think it's sick that someone would kill their children. I think she should have asked for help. And that was Katie's main point, is always, whatever you're going through in life, work, at home, bullies, anything like that, just put your hand up and say, I need some help. And half the battle is talking about it, actually. Every day, my missus, she gets an hour of me moaning. She has to just soaks it up like a sponge, the poor woman. Nathan has said no sympathy for this lady. I think it's disgusting. Surely her family would have seen the signs of the breakdown. I sometimes think with a mental collapse, I'm not sure people do see it. Because I think that, especially that sort of stay-at-home mum thing, I've spent a lot of time with, you know, women who look after their kids and guys as well. And it's everybody's like, it's all fine. Everything's fine.
Well, you say that. It's like when you've had a child and the health visitor comes up, they do a form with you. to fill out to see if you've got postnatal depression and stuff. If you want to, anyone can just make up any answer to make out they're okay. This is the thing, isn't it?
That's it, exactly. So, I think it's
see,
a lot
I don't have children, so I don't.
You know what?
Know
I mean, it's
works,
like so. When people take their own lives. How often do you watch an interview with a neighbour going, oh, we had no idea? Or even family members.
But to even take your own life or to kill someone, that I just can't imagine what must be going through your head to actually do it.
And particularly, yeah. I mean, to take the life of your own child, God
seen
knows.
Seen them struggle and stuff. It's
O-M-G.
Awful.
OMG. Gareth has said, nothing condones taking anyone's life. If the woman was having a breakdown, she should ask her, which is what someone else said. Also, Lady Ang has actually been asking you, Katie, do you think you'll be doing any signings this year in Scotland?
Hopefully, yes. I've got lots of signings coming up because I've got like The Perfume. I've got another book out.
So is The Perfume out yet?
No, that's out in September.
And is that like secret as to what it's called and stuff yet? Is that all under wraps?
Oh, yes,
yeah, they're released.
Oh,
yeah, so that's out.
Okay.
When you do a perfume, I mean, you obviously, because I know with everything you do, your books and everything, there's a huge amount of input. You're like very hands-on. And your column in Now and everything. So are you hands-on with the perfume thing?
Everything I do. They literally just give me so many different testers of perfumes.
Yeah.
And I have to smell them. And it is true. You smell coffee beans in between.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you just choose what smell you like. And
now, what's your thing? Do you go for quite a kind of flowery fragrance? Or do you like musky?
A bit like musky. But I like spraying perfume all the time. Oh, sorry, I've just eaten my second croissant.
Yeah. Sarah Robertson from OK Magazine Online. I'm a very bad influence on young Catherine Price, my co-presenter.
Oh, I love her being called Catherine.
No, do you know what my real name is on my birth certificate?
Katie Ann?
Katrina Amy Alexandria Alexis Infield. Why on earth did my mum call me that?
You sound like a
Russian
princess.
Katrina.
You
you're Katrina.
Yeah, naturally, yeah. Katrina Amy right. Alexandria Alexis right. Infield.
But when you're in trouble, when you're in trouble with me and you libel someone, then I'm going to go, Katrina, you can't say that.
I was thinking
that.
Of calling this baby Katrina because
you know
I never used it.
Did you never want to be Kat?
Well, I never thought about it, but I thought, you know, to follow on my name or something, maybe I'll call the baby Katrina.
That's quite a nice idea. Now, what I want to ask you about is, what fragrances do you like? Which, obviously, they're going to be your rivals, so you're going to blow them out of the water. But what are the fragrances that you like that are out there that aren't Katie Price fragrances?
What I wear is one called Bijam. I wear that a lot.
Used to be, that was, wasn't that before Iceland? They used to do frozen goods.
Yeah, B-jam. That was, I remember that, yeah.
My parents actually bought a second-hand B-jam freezer because every so often used to sell them. That's my little story. That's what I'm bringing to the party.
And then as
I was older.
Do you ever go to really, does Katie Price, because I know we discovered...
Do I go to Iceland when I have a party and get the spread? I give my friends the money and say, go to Iceland. No woman knows if it's Marks and Spencer's or Iceland, which is true.
So actually, Katie is an Iceland fan. Do you go, because you mentioned...
Well, I haven't been personally.
Have you ever been inside an Iceland, do you think?
No. Not because, like, no reason. I just think when I either do online shopping or if I go to Tesco's, you know, you just shove whatever in the trolley. But like what I do say is never go shopping when you're hungry because you put so much crap in there.
Yes, that's when the cakes.
That's
come
like
in.
I never go to Majestic Wine when I need a drink.
Clear the shelves. Yeah,
it's always
alcoholic.
At a certain point they just move me on. They're like, "Can you go now?" I'm like, "I'm sampling."
They think you're this wino, Mark.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Talking of parties, I've got my baby shower this weekend, and if anyone knows, okay, I'm trying to get hold of pregnancy suits because obviously men
me
are
too.
Coming
Tell
as well.
Tell me about it.
So the men can wear these pregnancy suits and know what it's like for the women. We're going to give them tasks to do.
Fantastic.
So if there's anyone, because I can't find anyone who does pregnancy suits, you know, full term.
So this is where the man puts on a suit which has got a huge great stomach.
But they
on
have
it.
To be in it the whole time. You know, if they go to the toilet, help with the barbecue.
So they know how it feels.
Yes.
Good
and then
idea.
Make them do some games.
Poor old Kieran, if he gets hold of one of those, he's going to look like an obese inmate at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. I think it's important.
It's
men
a jumpsuit.
Should know.
Yes. They should know. Well
so
said.
So I am trying to get hold of pregnancy suits if anyone knows anyone.
You're putting a call out there.
Fubar Radio, where can we get a pregnancy suit? Also got a question, comment from Rachna.
Hi,
Rachna. Hello, Rachna. We're talking about David Beckham, and she said he is gorgeous. Also, we've got some lots of new listeners coming in. Olivia Sarah Daniels, that's a pretty name, isn't
Very
it?
Very pretty.
Yeah. Olivia is listening. Great to have you listening. Gavin as well. Gavin Ramjohn is listening. Thank you, Gav. Also, Jagat, Mr. Jack B. Emma is listening. Glitter Babe Emma. She said, hi, Katie. Please, could you wish little Katie a happy first birthday?
She named
for
Katie
Thursday.
After me, bless her. That I see her at my signs. A lot of them you've just read out.
Yeah.
I see at my signings. Loyal fans, they
are. Oh, so it's Katie's first birthday. Always very
That's
special.
That's gone so quick. Well done.
My sister-in-law, who I adore very much, she's a lovely, gorgeous lady. But I got in trouble with her when they had their first child, my brother and she had their first child many years ago. And I, do you know what? I'm a bit disorganised anyway, but it was a little gathering around the time of the first birthday of the child. And I've been really busy. I was running around. And they know that I'm flaky. I'm the flaky brother. Do you know, I'm the baby. I'm not used to organising myself anyway. And so I turned up the first part and I didn't bring a present. Do you know what I brought? I thought I haven't got a present for the kid. It's one. But I will bring flowers.
Right.
So I brought flowers and gave them to my sister-in-law. It's all good. Anyway, I got this kind of panicky phone call like hours after the party. Everyone was there. My parents were there and
say they were like, did you leave the present?
Yeah,
we can't find it.
We can't find the present.
Oh, no, how embarrassing. No, what did you say?
I fessed up. I just said, I'm sorry. I've been really busy and I didn't get a chance to.
And you had all year.
I had all year. But my thought was that the little dude... He didn't know they didn't get a present.
This is the thing about first birthday parties and that.
It's bollocks, isn't
because
it?
Because Jets is soon. And I'm like, is he really going to know? What friends has he got at one? It's more like an adult social get-together.
It's showing it up your baby, isn't it, to your friends.
And that's why I don't think, and you know, oh God. But I mean, I sorted something out. But I just thought, no, I think at that age it doesn't really. Because my thing is that with birthdays... that when you mustn't forget a birthday present is when the person whose birthday it is suddenly thinks, oh, Uncle Mark forgot me. And it's like, obviously, when they're three or four, then it's like a big deal because you feel acknowledged.
Yes.
But one, I think, unless the child was like a child genius, like a prodigy, who actually managed to write me an email going, you bastard. You thought just because I was one, you could save 20 quid and not go to John Lewis. Well, actually, I got news for you. I will never forget this. Now, listen, let's get down to business because we've got a very big story, which is Cheryl Cole, who is basically, she's on the march. She's back.
She's back. She's back with the bag.
She's trying to be back.
Well, can I just clear something up about this? Because I got told that in the mags this week, or was it last week? I can't keep up myself. That it says, I was having a pop at Cheryl. I wasn't having a pop.
You were not. I was here. I listened to what you said.
She's gorgeous looking. Gorgeous. But she's amazing looking. Mm. I just said she hasn't got that spark in her eye like she did the first time. That has got nothing to do with how she looks.
Correct.
And in this new campaign, L'Oreal, she looks amazing.
Yes, it's like, the pictures are stunning, aren't they?
She looks stunning.
Yes.
But
your point was about how you're wondering whether how she's feeling, like in her spiritual health,
her soul.
It's just
in her eye, a spike. Yeah, nothing to do with that. She's amazing looking, good looking woman. And on Britain's Got Talent, she looked amazing. She is amazing little thing. Mm-hmm. She's only tiny little thing. And but this L'Oreal thing, now take aside Cheryl, Cheryl, however you want to say it.
Okay.
It's the same with mascara adverts, okay?
Yes.
Mascara and hair adverts. So with the mascara adverts, you think, oh, how long are them lashes? But they got fake lashes on. And like some adverts say, like in small print at the bottom, fake lashes were worn if you actually look. But like with the L'Oreal one, we all know that's not her real hair. We all know that's extensions or clippings. So how can they promote a product when that's not even her hair anyway? And that's something to do with Cheryl.
I think that's what's happening is a lot of fans are asking the same question. You know, when the pictures were released, you know, yesterday, everyone was saying, you know, okay, the hair does look absolutely beautiful. They are.
And she looks amazing.
I mean, she does. She looks flawless.
And it's nothing to do with her. This is not her fault.
No, of course not. You know, she looks flawless.
Yeah.
You know, the campaign's flawless. You know, everything fantastic. But what the fans are asking is what Katie's just said is this false advertising? Because we all know, and Cheryl has admitted herself, she does wear hair extensions.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know,
how
it's
can
not,
you
it's
possibly? It's
hair.
A joke. It's a nonsense. Or is this L'Oreal product for hair extensions?
Well, I use it. I love the smell of it. I love Elnett. I've got to admit, I use Elnett myself.
What is it? What is it? Is
hair
it just
spray.
A shampoo or is it
it's
a spray?
Hairspray.
And what does it do, this hairspray?
Just keeps everything fixed and it gives like a lovely sheen to the hair. And, it, you know, it's just good quality. It's a good quality product.
But your hair, Katie, is real. It's all yours, isn't it?
Do you know what? For once in my life, my hair has grown. It's, yeah.
And
but
you've got good hair.
You've always had lovely thick hair,
yeah,
like
my hair's naturally curly. Yeah. It's like princesses.
Oh, princess's hair's lovely. Yeah. Gorgeous hair.
Tell me this. So you've got your... do you reach this point now? Someone like Cheryl, do you think her actual real hair would look really bad now?
No.
If she got the extensions?
No, I don't either. It's probably shorter. No,
I would love to see Cheryl with like a really amazing bob. Like,
but
something.
Didn't she have that? Like, was it last year or the year before? She did have her hair shorter and natural, I'm
not, sure. No, I just would like to see it like, you know, like a really
are there any
funky style.
Funky. Are there Vidal Sassoon,
yes.
Sort of late 70s?
Yes, like kind of swingy, shiny. I just think she'd look, it would just bring out all of her cheekbones. I think she would look spectacular.
So a kind of very modern.
Yes. Mm. I'm kind of almost a bit sick of the big hair look on her. I kind of feel
actually,
it's almost
60s.
Done.
You wanted to have a 60s,
I
like a
think
bowl.
She'd rock that,
what about a
would
bowl?
I just think anything would suit her.
Yeah, I mean, she's got the most gorgeous face. Yeah, she's blessed.
Isn't little
she?
Dimples in there.
Yeah. She would look incredible.
I worked with a female comedian who did a panel show on TV, one of those comedy shows, and they ordered her to have hair extensions. And she was quite insulted because she's got lovely blonde hair already. But she said, so she had to go in and they put hair extensions on for an hour. And they said to her, look, we're not being harsh about it. You're lovely. But we put makeup on the blokes and we put hair extensions on the women. And that's just how we roll.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's funny because she was a bit put out that she had to. But then she admitted that the results were amazing and that you look... I wonder whether now, because the famous people, these celebrities who have got the hair extensions, and let's be honest, the hair extensions generally, if done well, they do produce an amazing result, no?
But it's having them done well, and I think a lot of people go to... You know,
cut price. Yeah,
you pay for what you get. You pay for what you get. And I'm very experienced.
You go down. A lot of people go down to like their local Turkish barber, and they have to. They got a guy called Emmet who goes, "Yes, I do a hair extension, £6, but you have to wait. Read the newspaper, and I'm going to cut three hairs in the middle."
Now you can get some dodgy places. You pay for what you get, really.
I think so.
And it's you need a proper professional.
What do you reckon? I mean, you're probably looking at for a decent set of hair extensions, including the hair and everything.
Right, when 150? I had mine done, are you serious? I wish it's 150. When I used to get mine done in LA for about 5 years at the Beverly Wiltshire.
Did you used to go all the way over there?
Yeah, for my great lengths.
What, just to get the hair? Could you go to America just to get your hair done?
Yeah, I would bring in a receipt.
That's extravagant, is it not?
I would bring in next week to prove a receipt of my hair for $13,000.
What?
To have my hair done. And I paid for, obviously, my first class flight out there to do them. Yeah. And I stayed at the Beverly Wiltshire for 3 days.
That is outrageous.
Saw the dentist in between that to get my teeth cleaned, because that's where I had them done, and flew back. So all in all, it was normally about 21, 22 grand every, like, 3 months.
Could you not have had all the same thing done here, just as good?
It's because I found these people who were so good at putting extensions in. So that's how much I needed them done. And but now my hair's grown, so I don't need all that.
The hair that you're wearing, did that?
I prefer your hair now.
But it was so expensive. Everyone kept saying, you know, my business people, Kate, how can someone's hair possibly cost this much? But me being me, I'm like,
furious.
But it's the best hair, blah, blah. But when I look back at pictures, it wasn't actually that great.
And this hair is real hair, right? It's
real hair.
So has it come from, I don't know, sort of...
But I always wonder this. How can you prove... It's
put hair
real,
straighteners on it and a hairdryer.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Because then if it curls up or it's like plastic or monofiber. But if you can put all heat and stuff on it.
It is real.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So all in, you're looking at, what was it, $20,000, $25,000 per 3 months?
Well, that was me stupid then for great lengths. And
how
I had about
changed?
600 bonds in. But now you can get them over here.
But
well,
not as good.
Anyone can put whatever price. It's not just the hair. It's the hairdresser charging their time to put them in. So if they'd probably see me walking through the door, they'd either be like, oh, yeah, well, I'll do them free if you tweet or whatever. Or they bump the price up.
Have you? So you either get it cheaper or much more expensive. You can't really, there's no
and I just wish, like, so normally if a friend has had them done, I'm like, so how much did they charge you for it? So then if I go and ask for a quote and they say something, like higher, then I'm like, well, how come you're charging me more and not my, you know, you did my friends for that price. Mm. So,
well, might have noticed I've done the hair extensions and I've actually traced
lovely,
back.
Mark.
Well, thank you for that. I've traced it back to.
Men
you know,
do
it's kind
have
of
them as well. Even if you've got short hair, I know men who have got them in their fringe, but they just do the bonds finer. So
did
if
Peter
there's
Andre
men out
ever
there.
Have them?
Yes.
Did he have them on your wedding day?
Yes, he did.
Can I just say, Kate, it was really cringy. I didn't like how he had his hair.
He looked different. He was fatter on our wedding day. He looked like a proper fat Greek. He did. Sweaty Greek. He did.
I've not said that bad.
So what did
no,
he,
but he did.
Sorry, did he have hair extensions as well for the wedding?
I think we filmed it. I think it suddenly looked a bit longer.
Yes.
So why, when you were spending all this money, I don't think you should feel bad because...
I know, how many Range Rovers could I have bought a year for the amount of hair
I'm just thinking I could have
crazy.
Had a
I don't do it now because my hair's grown.
But here's my thing. I'm going to defend you and say that this was your job. Your image is your job. So I don't think you should feel bad about it, and also you only went there because it was the best.
Yeah,
and
but
it's
you know
tax
why
deductible.
I had, yeah, but do you know why I had extensions? Because there was a hairdresser called Richard Ward, and he was down
Kate
Sloane
Middleton's
Street.
Hairdresser.
Is it? Well, he was the one.
I
why
don't
I had
know if
extensions.
He still is. Oh.
My hair was long and curly. If you look at my original pictures, long and curly.
Okay.
I went to him because I was recommended to go to him, and I'm sure he's an excellent hairdresser, but he fucked my hair up basically.
Oh, really?
He said, "Let me do a Meg Ryan haircut on you." So he cut it short and I wore a baseball cap out there, cried. And so I've had hair extensions ever since then because obviously I'm not a hairdresser. My hair's curly and he cut it short. So it went even short. It looked like yours, Mark.
Oh, no, that's a terrible
shame. No, like short, curly when it was wet.
Kate, do we have any photos? Or did you make sure no one got any?
I don't think there was any, no, but it was so short. So it was awful.
Well,
so that's why I had extensions.
I just want to say, I don't know if he's still Kate Middleton's hairdresser now.
I'm not saying he's a bad hairdresser,
but it was because of him
why I had to have hair extensions, because he cut my hair short.
All right. Well, let's just say that you had a bad experience. I mean, he might be the best in the business, but you know what? You can see. I've been to posh hairdressers and they've done not the right job. Sometimes it's a connection, isn't it? It's a chemistry with a person you trust. Our question to you at Fubar Radio is: tweet in and tell us of your hair or your kind of nightmares at the hairdressers, and also would you wear hair extensions? And as they become the norm, they're obviously getting cheaper. But you raise a really good point, which is that should Cheryl Cole be allowed to advertise for a hair product when it's not her hair? That is like Elton John is recommending a certain shampoo, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
What are you trying to say?
Well, Elton John is the face of Elton John is the face of is the face of Head and Shoulders. And I'm thinking, come on, Elton, who are you kidding?
Not really good advertising.
It's not the best.
Wait till my extensions come out, my wigs and stuff, because I am bringing
Katie's
them out.
Katie's wigs, I love
I
it.
I definitely am.
We'll be.
I'll look at Katie's wig.
We'll be back.
I'll give you one.
We've got more of this in 29 seconds.
Mark and Katie on Fubar Radio.
It's 11:56, it's Fubar Radio. We're going to finish up on our hour of showbiz excitement. I'd like to say I got a lovely tweet from Sarah Jane, who has said, great show, guys, enjoying it. First time listener, thank you very much, Sarah Jane. You're very welcome to the Fubar family. This is Fubar Radio, the UK's largest unregulated ad-free radio network and the home of Katie Price. And also, for the next few minutes, the home of Sarah Robertson from OK Online, digital news editor. Couple of things. We're going to do a whistle-stop tour.
Yes.
Because the editor wants you back.
He does, yes.
And it's always a he, isn't it? How annoying is that? No, but not for long, actually.
Okay.
But I don't mean
so
that.
Who is the editor now?
What? Sorry, of magazine.
Magazine's
Kirsty Tyler.
All right, well, that's very good. Now, a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about your experience at Wireless. Wireless, is that what it's called?
Yes, Wireless Festival over the weekend.
Kanye West. So let's actually quickly mention that because you went. Now, what is Wireless? It's obviously a music festival.
Yes,
it's a music festival.
You know, it was up in Finsbury Park. They normally have it in Hyde Park this year. They changed it. It was in Finsbury Park.
Was that a budget thing? Because Hyde Park and Finsbury Park is a little bit of a come down.
As a North Londoner,
I can tell you.
Yes, it was a bit different. I mean, I didn't mind because I live in North London, so it was easy for me to get there and back. So
that's nice.
It has its advantages, shall we say.
Listen, Finsbury Park's not bad. You get offered a lot more drugs there.
I'm not talking about drugs.
Do you know
drugs.
What I mean? What I like
I
about Finsbury, I've been to music festivals in places like Hyde Park, and I've been to music festivals in Finsbury Park. In Finsbury Park, they actually go around with drugs. It's like, you know, when you go to a sporting arena in America and they have like a tray of beers at the end. They're like, do you want to buy some? You know, they do that with Meow Meow in Finsbury Park. And I think it's tremendous.
Can I just ask? Right, I'm a bit naive. What is Meow Meow?
Do you know what? It was basically one of those legal highs, which is now not legal.
Okay.
But it was.
Is it something you could buy in the garden centre or something?
I think that's different, actually. That's compost.
Like,
I thought there was something you could buy in a garden.
Can I be honest with you? I have smoked compost and nothing happened.
You smoked compost?
Yeah, just because, you
do
know.
Do you smoke, generally smoke?
No, I must say I'm not a smoker.
See,
I don't
smoke,
like,
do you?
Smoking, no.
And I must
I've
say,
never been out of a smoker either.
Oh, no.
It's not
no,
good,
horrible.
Is it? And no. I'm not a smoker. I'm not drug free. I don't think my body could cope. Actually,
no, I know.
Katie, you're not a big. You're not one of those in and out of the toilets every 10 seconds.
I'm sunbed.
You must have been. that's enough
my
of a drug.
I'm afraid.
I bet you've both been around. You've been to those showbiz parties where you've got footballers and others in and out of the toilets every 11
seconds.
Yeah,
getting a blowjob. They are.
I've not been at parties with footballers going in out of loose, but I have seen.
I think you don't have to be a celebrity. I think there's just drugs everywhere.
If you choose
to go you're down right. that yes. line, literally, pun, yeah. then mm-hmm. it's up to you, isn't it?
Well, that's right. They did some investigations in the House of Commons, the seat of our democracy, and they found a huge amount of residue of Coca-Cola in all the toilet. Coca-Cola, that's a Freudian slip. I know, they're having sugar now. That was a Freudian slip with Coke. Now, listen, I digress because you've got to go.
Wireless,
but let's do. So Kanye West was
yes,
at wireless.
Kanye West was
and
the
he
huge
was,
headline.
He was, sounds
at,
like he was wireless.
He was.
Did he get booed, I read?
Yes, he did. It was hilarious. I was there Friday night and Saturday night. Friday night was his, obviously, first appearance on stage. It all started off very well. And then he went into my favourite Kanye song, which was Click. So the crowd got really down. We all started to dance. And then Kanye just suddenly stopped. And there was just this silence. And then he just started to ramble. And I can't even tell you what he was rambling, because the boos from the crowd were so loud that they kind of drowned him out almost.
Yeah.
But he carried on with this rant. And I caught snippets of it, which was something about being shy, something about the media, something about, I think, feeling bullied, something
get
about
over it. How many
getting
millions
on a
is
plane.
He made by being
oh, he also
Kim.
Said I think he had six parents, which I really could not grasp the mathematics of that. Yes, it was just
not
really
enough
quite
with not enough with having 11 toilets yes. in his mansion. He's now got to have six parents
it's
as well.
Exactly. Absolutely banal. And people were turning around in the crowd and the boos, and people were just shouting, come on, sing, you know, get on with it. Someone shouted, you're a multimillionaire, what do you have to complain about? Who was stood next to me?
Yeah.
You know, it was just like this. They almost drowned him
did
out.
Did he put a mask on or
yes,
something?
Yes, he
what
put on
for?
A bizarre
what, the whole way
mask.
Through?
For part of the set, he had this really weird mask. And again, it just had people going, ugh. And where I was stood, which is where a lot of the celebrities were coming in to watch.
At the front then?
Yeah, you saw loads of people walking away saying, you know what, it's starting to rain. I really can't be bothered with this. I'm going back into the VIP
and
Kanye, area
Kanye
to have a drink.
He would have been the by other people. You mean you?
Was he the headliner?
And I don't know, was he like the headline act? He must have been.
Yes, he was. I mean, he wasn't originally set to play
was it
on Saturday. It was meant to be Drake on Saturday, but Drake pulled out because of illness.
Right. All right.
So Kanye did another set, and I thought, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. He will have learnt his experience, his lesson, shall I say, from Friday night.
Yeah.
Give him another go. Oh no. Exactly the same part of the song.
No.
He started again with the same rant. And I was like, I can't believe this has happened for a second time. Well, this is it. But you just think, come on, Kanye, how can you moan? You have everything that anyone could possibly
She's
want.
She's got a stunning what
the
stunning
most beautiful
wife.
Woman in the world, his wife, a daughter, you know, multi-million pound record selling career,
yeah.
worldwide success, everything.
But it
what
doesn't
does
I mean I know
about?
It's a cliche, but it obviously doesn't make you happy. Do you think he's actually not happy? Do you think he's having a bit of a weird crisis?
I just think he's like a menopausal woman.
Yeah.
He just likes to have a bit of a rant.
And also, here's the other question. Don't you
I feel
think
sorry
British
for Kim.
British audiences I think British audiences take less shit. And I think,
yes.
I wonder whether they just go, this is rubbish. I'm
yes.
not paying for this crap. I wonder whether American audiences would be cooing at all that nonsense.
Yes. Well, this is it.
Because they're
know,
so
it was
respectful of celebrity in America, aren't they?
Unnecessary moaning. He's a multimillionaire. It is completely self-indulgent. We're bored of it, Kanye. Just sing. That is what people have paid to come and see.
Don't
you know?
You think,
sing your song.
Don't you think in Britain we've got, because Katie, you've been at the heart, a sharp end of this, I suspect, over the years, which is that British people are not so slavishly respectful towards celebrities like they are in America. Because in America, if you say something bad about a public figure,
it's quite
it's like,
sycophantic over there, yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think people need to get over it. The comments are never nice. I'm just used to it. The day someone says something nice, would be like, what? That's not... what's going on? I'm just used to it.
And Kim Kardashian, are we fans of Kim Kardashian? In a way, she's echoed, or she's kind of copied your template, hasn't she, Katie?
You know,
I don't know.
She's followed the pricey
like
model.
I wish I was like her. But she's stunning.
You got in earlier than she did. You way.
Well, I suppose we've done like reality shows, perfumes. We've done everything, but obviously she's on a larger scale. She's like worldwide. And she's far better looking. She's gorgeous looking.
She's very beautiful. What do you think of the arse?
I don't like her body because I'm not into that kind of body.
I think the booty's maybe a little bit too big now.
Yeah.
And maybe needs to be.
Range-ish.
But she always seems to go to the gym, so I don't understand it.
Yes, well.
Yeah, but I think she goes
magic
to
ways,
the...
isn't there, of...
I've heard that she's had a bum implant. I've heard that. But I don't think she has,
I don't think it's implants, but I think there's other means.
Do you know what I think? I think she goes to the gym and I think she's a slave to those snack bars. You know, those little energy bars.
And then
then she looks at the bench press and goes, oh, not today.
But you know what? Even though she is bigger, she dresses well and she looks good.
Well, she has access to top stylists and the most amazing designers, doesn't she? So you'd expect her to have nice clothes.
Okay, now, quick bit of time for 2 seconds on Clooney. Now, George Clooney is going to get married, which is it's the story of the year so far.
I know.
To a very beautiful, accomplished English lawyer.
Yes.
And so far, so good. He's met the in-laws, hasn't he?
He has. And there seems to be a bit of a problem because Amal, who is his beautiful fiancée, her mother apparently has been saying to friends back in Lebanon, because Amal's family are Lebanese, that she's not impressed that her daughter is marrying George Clooney.
Yes.
And she would prefer that she married somebody from the same faith and background as herself and her family.
Right.
So there's a bit of controversy here. And George has had to, shall we say, go on a bit of a peacekeeping mission and try and win over Amal's mother, obviously getting the mother-in-law on side, and ask them to come to Lake Como, his home in Italy, this weekend, where he sort of threw like a private dinner to try and get his parents and Amal's parents to meet.
It's a lot like Meet the Parents, that movie.
Yes, literally.
I hate that, though.
Very different backgrounds.
I hate that, because if you marry someone, does it really matter what your parents and that thing... At the end of the day, it does make it hard work if your parents don't agree. Mm. I admit that. But at the end of the day, if you're in love and you want to get married, then no one else should matter. And when it comes to religion, like I say, I always stay away from religion and politics. This is an example how religion can affect things.
Yes, well, I don't think for Amal, I mean, I don't know what her own religious beliefs are. You know,
I thought he was gay anyway.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Well, gay or bi.
Have you met him?
I haven't, no. But I don't know. You know when you hear things and stuff, don't quote me on it because I'm not saying it's 100% true. I'm just saying I heard that he was.
What's your gut as a woman of the world?
I don't know. Anything goes these days, doesn't it? You never really know what happens, do you?
Well, this is it. I mean, it seems to be nowadays, it seems to be the fashion to be a
bit of everything.
Well, I think you know what we know about George Clooney, apart from he's one of my favourite actors, is that
we know
about George Clooney is that he has enjoyed a string of high profile relationship with beautiful ladies.
Isn't
so what we know
Kate,
about
I'm
George is that he's very red blooded and he's so talented. I tell you what, here's the thing: it's not a hard sell though to your mother in law going, "Yeah, I've met this guy. He's called George. He's one of the most handsome men in the world. He's got 11 properties around the world. He's a UNICEF ambassador. Mm. He's good looking. He's a multimillionaire. He's an Oscar winner. He directs. He acts. I mean, how can the mother-in-law just not go, absolutely, sign me up? Well, how can you possibly have any grumbles?
Maybe she just doesn't like his films.
Yeah, maybe she hated, like, Up in the Air or Three Kings. She just thought
it was a bit lame.
Yeah, very overly long.
I think anyone knows anything, Lisa Snowden, she used to go out with him, didn't she?
Yes, but Lisa, you'll never pin Lisa down. She won't ever talk about him. She's
See, don't
very
you find
guarded.
That? It's the same, like, with Madonna and all these high-profile people.
Yes.
Their girlfriends or boyfriends never talk.
No.
Apart from mine.
They don't squeal. Right, now listen, we're going to say goodbye to you. I've got some Kanye West tracks up here because I've got a bit of Kanye of just singing and not actually moaning about his life.
Oh, wow.
But I need your help as to which track we should have. We've got All of the Lights, Black Skinhead, Bound to Family Business, I Am a God, which is humble, Jesus Walks, I think that's autobiographical, Love Lockdown, Through the Wire, Heard Him Say. What do you reckon?
Jesus Walks.
Yeah?
Jesus Walks, yeah.
And so he does. I tell you what, so do you, because you've got to go.
I know. I have to leave.
Thank you very much. You've been completely epic. Sarah Robertson is the digital news editor at OK Online, OK.co.uk.
Yes, get on the website, people. Read all our exclusives.
And buy Now magazine.
Okay.
And that's it. Do both. Do both and your life will be happier.
Unless I'm on the cover of OK, then buy it.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
I can't believe it, Katie Price, but the show is absolutely cracking apace and we've only got 45 minutes to go and I'm having a complete ball. I hope you're enjoying yourself too. Lovely Katie Price.
Oh, you're looking at me. Do you know, yeah. I was just sitting there like... I just said a minute ago, I said, I feel a bit peculiar. I don't know why. I'm not saying, I don't know if my water's going to go or anything, but didn't I just say off air, I feel a bit peculiar. It's a good thing, because if it's ready and coming, it's coming.
Well, I know, but you're doing incredibly well. So every time you come in, I have to remind myself that you are heavily in the family way, and you just have arrived from, you live in West Sussex. It's quite a trip to get in every Tuesday, and you do, and you never complain, and you always are energy. It's quite amazing. Now, if you feel like you've had a funny turn, don't worry.
Not a funny turn, just a little bit, but you know, yeah, go
on. You feel a bit, well, actually, I don't know, because I've never had a baby in my tummy.
Well, it's weird. The way I describe it is like someone washing up in you, like moving about. It's really weird.
Listen, men, males are inadequate creatures because we never go through that extraordinary physical process.
Unless you have a gallstone or something.
Yeah, you get a bit of that, do you know what I mean? And or maybe you've got, some sort of gastric, maybe the flu, the man flu. I mean, that's nearly as bad as childbirth,
men have that
isn't
all
it?
The time.
Of course they do. Well, I tell you what's interesting now. Everyone is obsessed with how to lose weight. It's all you read about. You open the newspapers.
No.
Every day there's a different diet, isn't there? There's like, only have carbs, only have protein, cut out sugar. Or what about, we've got a fast, the 5-2. A lot of people on the 5-2. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, there's so many, you know, all on Twitter and stuff. People set up their own fitness things. You know, I do believe the answer to losing weight isn't just the gym. They say it's like 80 or 90% your diet.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's right. Well, let's speak to an expert on this because we're joined online now by a GP by the name of Dr. Aaron Ghosh. And he's shared his story with the Daily Mail. And the headline is, obese GP who thought a quick fix gastric balloon would beat his bulge. But after 12 weeks, when he lost almost no weight, he admits you can't cheat yourself slim. He joins us on the line now. Dr. Ghosh, welcome to FUBAR. It's brilliant to have you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me.
Now, a couple of things. Katie pointed out, and she saw a picture of you in the in this story. And what was your first impression of this lovely man?
Hi, by the way.
Hi, Katie. Hi.
The picture of you they've used on the Mail Online, and you've got your, I can't say it, stethoscope. I can't.
That's it, yeah, you said that right.
Stethoscope.
Now,
that's right, yeah.
Is that what you look like now?
I've lost a bit of weight, ironically, since then.
No, what I mean is, because I look at that, and I said to Mark, what is actually wrong with him? Because you don't look, like, big to me at all.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I think when we look about obesity, we discuss numbers, and we talk about something called the BMI, which is all to do with your height and weight. Now, when I was younger, I played a lot of rugby, I played a lot of sport, and I've always been quite top-heavy. But as a nature of that, because of the muscle structure, my BMI is actually very, very large. So sometimes when we talk about numbers, we can get quite obsessed with what we see on the scales. We can get quite
obsessed. What does BMI stand for?
BMI is something called Body Mass Index, and it's how GPs clinically assess whether someone is technically obese or not. And if you are obese, you're therefore more at risk of particular diseases, such as diabetes. And we have to be therefore, and you may have recently seen in the newspaper, we weigh now children, and there's a big call for weighing children, because it's one of the biggest risks this nation is facing, is the fact that the vast, vast majority of people in this country are becoming obese, and it's only getting worse. So, like a lot of people, I've, well, Katie can probably say more than me, I've had a little girl 2 years ago, I stopped playing sport, and suddenly the pounds started coming on more and more and more. And what I suddenly got to was 15 stones in weight before I went, I've got to stop this. Where am I going? And I was just becoming the sort of the family hoover. If my daughter wasn't finishing her chicken nuggets, I thought, well, that's all right. I'll pop those in. If I was going out and someone was cooking a really nice dinner, everyone was like, no, Aaron, you've got to eat. And I was thinking, yeah, great. What I'd stopped doing, though, was playing that Saturday rugby game or going out cycling on the weekend. And I wasn't burning those calories off, but I was still eating like I was. And before I knew it, that weight had really crept on. And like lots of us, we get to a certain age where it just doesn't come off quickly. I mean, Katie works in a profession probably where people really scrutinize her weight and her size. But all of us really need to be really looking at ourselves as that weight comes on. And suddenly, there's a huge raft, as we've all said, of really, really quick fix results. So it's suddenly you'll drop a stone in a week, and we'll all read it in this magazine or whatever magazine's there. Drop a stone a week, bikini diet, that's going. And these are the problems that we all want to go for that, and myself included. I think, I really want to lose weight, but I really want to do it quick. I want to look great for holiday. I also want to get fit and healthy. I want to go back into sport, but I don't want to go looking like I'm the fattest guy there. And we go on these diets. And this whole article was about one of the latest types of surgery that...
Oh, we've lost him. Do you know why?
And you can go in your lunch hour. Oh, sorry.
We just lost you there. Apologies, Dr. Gersh. You just dropped out for a second. I thought maybe you'd reached for a donut or something.
No, that was me.
We all go for these quick fixes. And this whole article is about one of the latest types of surgery that's there. And it's about a balloon that you can swallow in a small pill. So you literally go in, swallow the balloon in your lunch hour in 20 minutes, they inflate it up. And the idea of it is that it inflates up so much that you don't want to eat anything. And I thought this was fantastic. It's being released by the hospital I was working in. And I thought, wow, what a great, great answer to my weight loss problems. I'll go home and never eat again. What I didn't realize is actually when I swallowed this balloon, if you didn't eat anything, your stomach tried to eat away at the balloon and it caused awful cramps. And I needed to actually eat more to keep the cramps away. So we sometimes go on these diets like 5-2 or Atkins, and often what we do is we end up ballooning worse.
Atkins, you get really smelly breath, don't you?
Yeah, and I did. I've done Atkins and I've done 5-2 and ended up just scoffing my face on the 2 days when I was meant to be eating, and I should have actually probably been more sensible than it. But a lot of these fads, they're aimed at sort of middle-aged women, people who are all desperate to lose weight, say, for a christening or a wedding that's coming up, and actually they just don't work.
No, I mean, what's interesting, Katie raised a really good point, which you'll be able to confirm or deny as a professional physician, Dr. Ghosh, which is that I've heard this statistic too, that something like 90% of weight loss involves eating less food. And that a lot of people think that if they pound the treadmill at the gym every day, or go swimming for half an hour, or that'll actually allow them to eat and drink what they want. Whereas actually the lion's share of getting in shape is eating less food. Is that true?
You know what? It's absolutely true. But listen, don't get me wrong. Exercise is fantastic for lots of other reasons. Really good for your health benefits, lowering blood pressure, great for your joints. So I don't want to put people off exercise. But the fact of the reality is it's more than 80%, because when you start to exercise, you actually get hungrier, and actually you will start to want to eat more food. So if you really want to lose weight, you've got to aim at diet. As I said, doesn't put you off going to the gym. There are loads of other benefits from going there, toning up, looking slightly fitter. You can move your body weight around and certainly build up your muscles going to the gym. But losing weight, it's solely down to what you're eating in terms of calories.
Yeah, I mean, does this which I haven't heard about, this quick fix gastric balloon, because I know about the gastric band and all those other much more invasive procedures. But this one, has it worked for others?
A lot of people who have lost weight, I think they've lost it because it's become an intervention. They've decided to spend £2,000-£3,000 to have something like a balloon fitted. They are determined to lose weight. And this intervention that we all do that's what's turned around for people to lose the weight. The evidence, unfortunately, long-term for the balloon just isn't there. But I had lots of patients asking me about this because it's new, it's there. The idea of not having any surgery is great, just swallowing it, having it removed without any scars is absolutely fantastic. So lots of people have looked at this as a really, really quick answer. And you know, I'd love it to have worked. I'd love to be sitting here going, yes, I'm 11 stones with a six-pack and looking really great. But unfortunately, that just didn't happen. And I am going to have to start looking at that gym membership again and maybe looking at what I actually put in my my cereal bowl in the morning.
So what did you do in the end? Because I know that you have lost weight successfully, but I think through a more sort of old-fashioned procedure, which is eating less food. You have lost weight, haven't you?
I have. I've managed to actually lose another half a stone since I've had this removed.
Well
done. Which is only 3 weeks. And it's been slow, but it's been steady. We've actually started doing some Keep Fit videos. We find it really hard, my wife and I, to exercise. We get up half an hour earlier, as much as we hate doing it. Make sure the baby's in bed. And we start doing our exercise videos in the morning. We then have just eaten a really good, what I would call a low GI diet. The whole secret with weight loss isn't about finding the new
GI
fad.
Diet?
A GI diet is about controlling your blood sugar. So I was basically going to work, so often missing meals, and then coming home and scoffing my face. And I wasn't controlling my blood sugars very well. And a GI diet is all about controlling that blood sugar throughout the day so you don't start having cravings. Because I'm the sort of guy that if I open a bag of crisps, I probably just won't finish at one. I'll end up eating about two or three.
Yeah.
And it's because I'm suddenly craving those things. Whereas when I found going on a GI diet, I just didn't feel like having the crisps, or if I did, I would only have maybe one or two because I wasn't craving those. Now, that's worked really well for me, and that's not what I'm saying everyone should do, but I think the only thing with weight loss is finding something that works for you. So if it's Slimming World, fantastic. You know, if you need to go with your group of people and get weighed and get that reward, brilliant. If it is 5-2, if it is Atkins, and that's how you do it because you love that type of food, brilliant. But you need to find something that works for you and that you can just stick with it. I find that, you know, it's really, really condescending when doctors, especially, you know, we say, oh, it's really simple. You just need to eat healthy and exercise. A lot of my patients come from a really poor background and they can't afford to go and buy loads of fresh fruit and vegetables.
See, this is the thing I do say to people to, you know, to have like just chicken, fish and vegetables, this, that and fruit. It is really expensive.
Yeah.
And people don't, like, you know, to make a smoothie, the amount of fruit you need just to make one smoothie, you know, a full big glass, you need a lot of fruit.
Absolutely.
And people don't realise that. Yeah, it does. It does. Because you've got to wash it all up and,
You've got to then do it. You know, if you've got, I mean, Katie, you're a mum as well, how busy your life can be. If you've got kids that you need to feed and you're feeding them one type of food and then you're trying to prepare your own, you can absolutely imagine how people can actually think, oh, I haven't got the time to actually go and juice all my foods and go on a juicing diet.
Yeah, it does take.
Because it takes a lot of effort. And it's, you know, it takes a big effort to go to the gym and fit that in your weekly time as well. So it's finding something that works for you around your lifestyle. I've got patients who are international patients. They go away. If they went on a juicing diet and went on to the ship and said, could you juice all my food? They would think they've got something wrong with their teeth. You know, they wouldn't be able to do that.
But do you know what puts me off juicing? I know it's awful. When I was younger, I worked like with older people and yeah, they'd mush all their food up. I'm just saying, so it makes me feel sick. So the thought of liquidising, should I say, all your food, although they say it helps you lose weight because, you know, it's all liquidised, it's like liquid, just makes me feel sick. It makes me feel like I'm like an older person who has to have my food liquidised. It's disgusting.
Yeah, there is. I mean, one thing, it's interesting you mentioned about the glucose and the blood sugar and all of that. That's the thing which has identifiably changed in our diet since maybe the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. When I was growing up, I was born in 1974, I was growing up in the 80s, and there was always one fat kid in the classroom, and then everyone else was kind of not fat. Mm. And now, I'm afraid to say, and I say this with a heavy heart, that it's the opposite. And in fact, you get a couple of thin kids in a classroom of 25, 30 kids. And it's like a big recent phenomenon. And I wonder what it could be, because I remember growing up, the kind of stuff my mum made for me, it wasn't always very tempting, but it was very, very simple food. So I'd have like, I remember my mum used to do mince and then a couple of boiled potatoes and some broccoli. And that was it. It was like meat and two veg. And that was kind of how we lived, and nobody really got fat off that. Why are we so fat now? What's changed, do you think, Doctor?
I think there's loads of different things. I think also the temptation with food now is huge. So when I was a child, I'm a similar age to yourself, McDonald's was maybe someone's birthday party.
Yeah,
treat. Now, McDonald's are very clever. There's toys that are given with these games. So people want to go and collect the whole series. It's a once-a-week thing. I work opposite a school, and there's a McDonald's very close, and I regularly see parents in there with their child as a treat. Unfortunately, say if you've only got your child once a week, you may want to treat your child every time you see them, and therefore we do that. It's very, very difficult to isolate one particular thing. Without a doubt, the amount of sugar in our diet has really raised up, and that's something we really need to tackle, not only nationally from getting on the politicians to change the food, but actually food companies themselves. But also our taste in food have really different. So when you were a child, you may have been brought up the same way as I did. Someone died in Africa if I didn't finish my food in my plate. And therefore, I feel guilty if I didn't finish it. And ironically, we would say, you can't have your pudding unless you finish your main meal. We need to change that attitude now and say to people, if you've had enough and you're full, stop. So we need to change the attitude that we all got brought up on about finishing our food and actually saying, look, if you're full, stop. You don't need to eat anymore. And a lot of us ignore that, and we carry on eating, carry on grazing. You know, now you can buy Mars bars that have got two or three. Now you can buy packets that are giant size or family size. All these things have contributed to the amount of calories that people are eating away. And I'm just as guilty. If I'm sitting there with a bag of M&Ms or chocolate peanuts, I'll eat the whole bag. And I need to realize when
the trouble with me is I can be really good in the day, and then when it comes to night time and you're sitting in front of the TV, I'm like, oh, I'll have a cup of tea. And then I'm like, oh, I fancy a biscuit. And then as far as I know, it's not one biscuit, it's the whole packet. And then it's like, oh, well, I've eaten that now, I might as well eat a packet of crisps.
Yeah, I've ruined
and
it
then,
now.
Yeah, and that's what happens. I think that happens to most people. We're so good in the day and can be disciplined. But as soon as we come to night time, even though I'm not even hungry, it's just the fact, I suppose, of sitting in front of the telly and you associate tea, biscuits, and then I ruin it. And then that's the worst time to have that kind of food because you're going to sleep on it.
That's absolutely what I do. And for me, we're with our girl, our little daughter, all the way through the day or at work. So we are very good. We get to that point where we sit on the couch and go, oh, and our guard goes down. And I think, as you said, millions of people across the country are exactly the same.
And then we're like, I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll be better tomorrow. And we always reward ourselves by going, we'll stop that.
I'm going to sort of make both of you feel a little bit better. Even the doctor. I'm actually going to help the doctor now. I'm going to give you some sage advice. Okay, I'm going to be GP to your GP, which is... I did a documentary series about obesity, and it was called The World's Fattest Families and Me, and it's on the Channel 4 website, 4OD, and basically I learned a lot about it. And the main thing, and I travelled the world meeting obesity in different countries, and obviously the westernisation of the world's diet is the big thing, and the arrival of so-called progress with processed foods and all those sort of snacking foods that we have. Also, this culture of not saying no to children and children being spoiled and always just going, yes, darling, of course you can have one. As opposed to, I think when I was growing up, all I got was the word no from my mum. And what's amazing is when I went to Mexico and I met a morbidly obese man who was so fat, he lived in the back of a van and he just used to get around in this van, this pickup truck. And he never got out of it. He even got married in it. And it was a tragic thing. He's a great, great guy. But sadly, he passed away a few months ago. His mother was stick thin. So you realise there's been a generational change in attitudes for some reason in parenting, and the buck stops with the parents, because you can say, no, you're not having that ice cream. Because my good lady wife used to find things would be doing the supermarket order online, and she'd find, oh, look, there's 5 Magnums for half price. Let's get a couple of boxes of those. And I just, you think, well, that's good value, and a Magnum is a lovely treat, nothing wrong with a Magnum. But I just noticed my son, who's 8, just casually going to the freezer after dinner and just getting himself one. Like, that would never have happened when we were kids. Just go and get yourself a massive ice cream. Not even on it wasn't even a weekend, it wasn't even a sunny day, just a regular Tuesday. Yeah. And it's that ease with which. And so here I'll get to my point, which is, none of you have to feel bad, because the reason why we're all succumbing to this it's big business. The companies that make all of the stuff that's not good for us, the soft drink companies, the biscuit companies, the confectioners, chocolates, the supermarkets who've got the aisle where they've got piles of galaxies and everything at the till and all of the impulse purchases. So basically what you're dealing with, Doctor, is you're dealing with a huge, massive business and advertising and money being spent getting us to buy these things. And of course, these foods are carefully made and processed to be delicious and addictive. So we're actually fighting, you know, quite a huge, you know, in a way I see an echo with the tobacco companies in the 70s and 80s. You've got that now with the food companies, I think.
Absolutely. And if you look at the advertisements for things like soft drinks, you're cooler if you have a particular type of drink. You are, you know, you're sexier if you have a particular type of food. So the way you look at certain things like ice cream companies, ones are aimed very much at sort of adults and at children. And this sort of advertising is so difficult to break down. On the other hand, we then are dealing with huge amounts of eating disorders because of the other images that we're pushing out towards people. So it's a real, real yo-yo. But like you said, unless government really puts a huge amount of pressure onto these food companies, onto supermarkets, to make healthier food far, far cheaper and more accessible, we're not going to really be able to tackle obesity.
No, well, listen, you're a very, very wise man. I think all your patients are very lucky to have you as their friendly family GP. You also sound like you're making real progress. Yeah, you're making real progress with your weight as well, which is tremendous. Katie wants to ask you something else before
we go. Just one question, talking about weight. Obviously, my son Harvey has Prada willies. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is very difficult to control when you have that. And it's the same with him. He's now obsessed with like cheese and fatty stuff. Do you have any patients that are like normal, like not other disabilities, who have Prada willies? And how do you like control that?
And guys, could you tell us what Prada willies is as well?
You'll be better if you say it from a doctor's term, what Prada willies is.
Well, no, Katie, you're the mum. You explain what you say.
You turn it back on me.
One thing I know is it needs a rebrand. It definitely needs a rebrand.
I'll
explain. It's a very rare genetic disorder, Prada willies, and it's got a range of symptoms. So one of the things is the desire to eat foods, and they're driven by this permanent desire to feel hungry. Now, Katie, jump in because you live with someone with it.
No, that's right.
And therefore,
what
they're very, very much at danger of gaining weight. It can lead to things like restricted growth, restricted muscle tone, learning difficulties, behavioural problems such as temper tantrums.
Exactly.
One of my patients who I'm thinking is very, very stubborn, and it's very difficult to get. As I said, it's one of the rarest ones, and boys and girls of all ethnic backgrounds can be affected by it. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, you can blame any particular group or gene. It's really, really difficult because the main way that I know that you deal with it is by restricting your child's diet. And it's very important that you do that because your child, and like any mum, you know, you want to make sure your child's happy and that they're comfortable, but they can very quickly become overweight. And if they've got the learning difficulties, they can't always participate in the sports and burn off those calories that, say, other children will. So you've got a child who's always hungry but isn't doing the weight burning, as it were. So
that the
calories
what he is,
on.
Yeah.
And is that right?
Yeah, I'm like with his behaviour. You know, all us mums, because you've got Junior and Princess who have got the treats and Harvey wants it. But because you can't explain to him properly why he can't have it, you know, because we're trying to be kind to him. You know, sometimes we have to lock the kitchen door, but he'd do anything to get in there just to get food. Or we'd go in the freezer and get frozen pizzas and go and hide them and eat them frozen.
Really?
People have got to realise when you've got Prada willies, it's such a like a complex thing that it's so hard. He's getting bigger and bigger.
This is where low-fat foods can sometimes really come in, because you don't want to be the cruel mum all the time. And if the other children are having treats, because I've got a patient with this who is particularly coming to memory, and they've got other children who they will occasionally give them treats, but they don't want to restrict their child who's got the Prada willy with that. That's where often the low-fat sort of treats come in. So we're not just talking about sort of carrot sticks and you know,
which
and
we
hummus
do give
and
him. Yes, what we give him.
It's sometimes you can go then for the baked treats and, you know, the baked crisps and those sort of things. So you are reducing fat, you're reducing saturated fat, but you are not restricting that child. I think he's being punished because of his condition. And that's the fine line. Lots of mums feel like they're somehow punishing their child by not doing it. You're not. You have to be really, and then Katie, I completely sympathise, you have to be really, really strong with Harvey. You're going to have to be really, really strict to make sure he keeps his weight down, because that is going to have an impact on his health, especially when he's older. And you know, it's the harshest thing to do is, as we heard, saying no is really, really hard.
Because when I'm going around Tesco shopping, all he wants is a chocolate muffin.
Yeah.
So I do buy him one, because he's been so good walking around Tesco's. And I know some people might look at me and think, well, no wonder he's fat, he's got a chocolate muffin. But they don't understand, like, if I said no, he can't have that, he would kick off in the shop. Do you know what I mean? It's so hard when you've got Prada Willies to, like, control.
And some of these
it,
children, they're very clever. Sometimes they'll hide food.
Yes, what he does.
Keep doors of it, because, you know, their hunger is always there. So it's not always your... You know, your fault in any shape or form. I think the thing that you have to realise is it's a condition, and like any condition, if he controls it and you're strict with him, just like if he had, say, diabetes, or
he's
you have
got
to
that
be careful with your diet. Oh, there you go.
He's
so, you
got
know,
it
you
all.
You have to be even more careful. You have to be even more careful.
And I'm glad you said it, because anyone listen here, the next time you take the mickey out of my son, you now know why he's so big, because he's of his complex. But that people do, they're so cruel.
Anybody that I've never thought that, even
I know,
before
but
we
they
met.
Do. And it's like, I don't horrible, feed him up. It's really because he's. And I wanted you to explain, you know, what Prada Willies was, because, well, you explained it, what it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and also, you know, if you live with a child like that, and anyone living with any child with any disability will say that it's twice as hard to deal with things like feeding times. It's twice as hard to deal with going out. It's twice as hard to do anything with your life, because
they just want to eat
around their behavioural problems. Yeah, exactly.
That's all he thinks about is food.
Of course it is, yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Brilliant.
No,
well,
hopefully I did it justice.
You've definitely done it justice. That was a little bit of a kind of medical mastermind there. We threw a couple of diseases at
you. Thank you.
And we got a textbook definition, and that was out without the help of that big... that huge encyclopedia that's in your surgery. We've loved having you on the show, and congratulations on your weight loss, Dr. Ghosh.
Thank you.
And like you say to your patients, keep up the good work.
Thanks very much. Thanks.
Lovely stuff. Dr. Aaron Ghosh there. You can read his story in the Mail online today. Fantastic story and very, very educational. Turns out it's the old-fashioned rule, Katie, which is that if you want to lose weight, eat less food, bit of exercise.
Yes.
Boom. Job done.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It most certainly is. The time is 12:44 on FUBAR Radio. Coming up at 1 o'clock is the wonderful Mr. Jared Christmas, who I think is going to join us in just a moment's time to discuss his show with us. I've also got some tweets and emails to catch up on. First of all, we were talking about haircut nightmares. This is your Laugh, which is a fabulous, fabulous live comedy show, which is appearing at the Edinburgh Fringe this year. And they've tweeted in to say, as a young lad, I cut my own sideburns too much. Big chunk cut. Tried to hide with boot polish. Very bad idea. Craig has picked up on a discussion about Cheryl Cole and her hair. With Cheryl, she'll have stylists to make her hair perfect when she's advertising, so therefore it is not the actual product. And he's also said Kim Kardashian has copied Katie. She's even set up an eBay account after tweeting how excited she was being on the same flight as Katie. Did you know that?
Did she?
Oh, my
gosh. I didn't even know she knew who I was.
Oh, my golly. Cy McIntosh has looked at a picture of you and I photographed together and said, is Mark 8 foot tall or is KP shorter in real life?
How tall are you, Mark?
Well, I'm 6 foot 5, so I'm a ridiculous giant.
See, I'm 5'4", 5'5".
Yeah, which is a nice height. And but apparently he also says you look younger as well, which you definitely do.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Do I?
You look very, very young.
Oh.
Now, listen, it's been a while, probably. When you're expecting a baby, one of the things that probably goes out the window is the intimacy with your partner, or it certainly changes, doesn't it, once you get in the family way?
I would say it varies when you're pregnant.
You don't have to stop having sex when you're pregnant,
no,
do you?
No, you don't. But, well, obviously, I'm on my fifth one. And when I look back, it varies through different pregnancies to what stages, to what you feel like.
Yeah.
But with this one, it hasn't. With Harvey, it didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think it did with Junior. It might have done a little bit with Princess.
You mean in terms of whether you were in the mood, whether you had the libido or not?
Yes. And I think that can affect it a lot. And I think men have to realise that it's natural and that happens to women.
Yeah.
But this time it hasn't. And obviously, the first time with Harvey, it didn't.
Yeah, what, that your libido didn't disappear.
No,
not at all. No, and it doesn't really, just because you're having a baby, I mean, you always say this when you come in, which is, you're pregnant, you're not ill. And
exactly.
Sometimes people are pregnant. And similarly, your libido's, and the other thing is, if the baby doesn't come, and you're really like getting to that, you've gone beyond the due date, and it's a term pregnancy,
I'm going to teach you something about this.
Go on then.
Because I only found this out myself. Right, they say that if your baby's late or you want to bring on the labour, they say, go and have sex.
That's what they say.
But it's not the sex that brings on the labour.
Okay.
It's the man's sperm.
Ah.
So I always thought, is it the sex, the bang, 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 you know, breaking it? And it's not. It's the actual sperm. It gives off some, what is it,
whatever's in
the, yeah, some hormone, that is what triggers it off. It's not the actual sex. So when you're like, oh, don't do it too deep, you know, you might hit the head or something. It's nothing to do with that. It is the sperm.
I see. Oh, well, it's a conversation I wasn't expecting to have.
Well, you asked me the question.
But I asked the question and now I got my answer, which is that, yeah, because they say eat curries. There's all these other weird sort of theories, aren't they? But there you go. Get laid. That's the way to do it. But
and
once
come.
You're, and that would be helpful. Once you've got your pregnancy out the way, you get back to normal duties resume, okay? But
well, the thing is, when you've got a bump, you can't be as adventurous because, well, you certainly don't want to do it in front of the mirror, for one.
No.
But you can't because the bump gets in the way, you know.
Yeah, it's logistic. And you don't want to do your partner an injury and you don't want the waters to break. You have to be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. But a lot of evidence now, which is coming out of this story that I found on social media, which is to do with people who are in relationships for more than a few years, start scheduling their sex life.
Oh, that's wrong. Mm.
And the headline is it 6 o'clock? A third of couples aren't happy in the bedroom, and a fifth admit they have to schedule lovemaking, where they'll be like, okay, listen, let's get the diaries out. What are you doing next Tuesday at 3?
It's like I think that's so unromantic and so wrong. There's nothing better than being spontaneous. I mean, imagine it, like, okay, it's 7 o'clock now. Kids are in bed, let's go upstairs. And it's like, okay, let's kiss now. Or, do you know what? That's wrong. That's not a turn on, is it? Well, it wouldn't turn me on,
I think it kills the spontaneity,
yeah,
doesn't it? Producer Amanda?
Well, you might not fancy it at the time as well. You might be like, oh.
Exactly.
Like, you know, apparently I've got to go and have sex. And, do you know, I just feel a bit bloated.
And another thing I think ruins it is people always think that you have to, when you go to bed at night, you're in bed and that's when you have sex. I hate that as well. I think bed is for sleeping, not just for sex. So be spontaneous, go outside or do it somewhere different in the house. Or, I you know, so many couples think, okay, we're in bed, now we can have sex.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's not limited to the nighttime, folks. You can
exactly.
do it any time of day.
I think you might be, I think that, see, there speaks someone that doesn't have kids though.
Yes.
Because one of the big problems, and I'm sympathetic some with the scheduling, is you obviously need to choose the moment when the kids are occupied.
Yeah, it's preferable that they're not in the room.
I mean,
exactly.
I think the iPad has saved my marriage. Let's just
really?
Put it
just
that way.
Just go and sit down.
Because you just handed it like, okay, kids, why don't you go on the iPad and just go on YouTube?
Or put a lock on the door.
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on. I'm going to hit you with three more stories. I'm going to get a quick Katie Price response, okay? First of all, bakery in court over gay cake row after owners refused to decorate confectionery with the slogan "Support Gay Marriage." This is a Belfast bakery. And the customer has gone in and went, hi, can you please make a cake for us? And could you write "Support Gay Marriage" on the cake? And the person doing the transaction said, yeah, no problem. How do you want that? Do you want that with a large G? And that's a spelling. Yeah, "Support Gay Marriage," no problem. It'll be ready Monday. Except that it's gone to the bakers and the person having to do it, perhaps
refused
for religious reasons or God knows why. I don't know if they were like a strong Christian or something. But they refused to support gay marriage. And now they're in court over it because of equality legislation in the European court. So what do you think, Katie Price?
I so agree. I think they want a cake made. Whatever. You're paying for the service. You can have whatever you want on it. And, you know, because I've got a lot of gay friends and stuff anyway, and I've been to gay weddings, who cares? At the end of the day, we're all different. It doesn't matter. But I think this cake company, I think it's disgusting. You know, what does it matter to them what's on the cake? They've paid for a service, so what?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Also, it says here, the question which I found is a story online, which is, when are you tattoo old for an inking? There you go, there's the pun. 31, apparently, is the cutoff for a tattoo.
That is ridiculous. So I'm 36 now, and I haven't finished my tattoos. 31. The thing is, we're in... I suppose everyone now my age or around this time, we're all doing tattoos. So when we're older, we're all going to look the same, which is fine.
Yeah. That's right.
Do you know what I mean? So we're all going to be the same. So it doesn't really matter.
So you don't have to feel self-conscious, do you? All right. Well, look, the time is very much against us. 12:52. We've got a couple of minutes to go. What we're going to do is play a quick record by Blur. And then we're going to welcome Jared Christmas into the studio. Yeah, this one. Are you familiar with this? Do you know Country House by Blur?
Oh, my God. That's so old.
I know. Like, welcome to the 90s. Yeah. There you go, Jared Christmas nodding his head because it sort of takes you back, that track. I'm imagining it's what, mid-90s Country House, Blur?
Love it.
Bit of retro.
Put me up.
Andrew
95 Bird. Gonna go 95 head to head with Roll With It Oasis, the big Britpop battle.
He's an Oasis guy, isn't
come
he?
To the right place.
Let's be honest, Roll With It is a stronger track than Country House. There's no debate about that.
No, let's not kick it
off. Take your top off, I'll fight you.
Katie Price, Oasis or Blur?
Oasis.
Yeah, they're like you. They don't give a shit, do they?
Well, yeah. Like all of us in here.
I don't give a shit.
No,
I listen to either of them. I listen to either. I don't care about their rivalry.
I care too much. That's
some of Oasis's songs are shit and some of Blur's songs are shit.
Jared Christmas, Andrew
yes.
Bird,
Hi.
You're up next at one.
Yeah.
A quick word on pregnancy sex, Jared Christmas.
We were talking about it earlier.
Not right now, thanks.
Yeah.
Actually, now Andrew's just...
Oh, yeah, you just had a baby.
He's just had a baby, so he's looking quite sex-starved.
Yeah, no.
How old's the baby?
8 weeks.
Natural caesarean.
Very natural, 20 minutes on
so
our bed.
So you must be back on it already.
We're not talking about the conception, mate.
Are you kidding?
Hell yes.
You haven't had it yet?
Come on.
It's not that type of show, is it?
I tell you what, I'm not too keen on the scratch your head. I'm not too keen on the pregnancy one. I'm not comfortable having sex when someone else is in the room, let alone the same body.
Yeah.
I find it uncomfortable. I found
it uncomfortable when the doctor told me that's what I had to do. Having a stranger say, you need to go home and have sex with your wife.
But did you learn it's the sperm that brings it?
Oh, not the sex.
Because
when your children find out, they'll never forgive you.
It's a chemical.
Well,
when
thing.
They, you know, when they induce labour, they use a
pessary.
It's a sperm derivative, isn't it?
Is that what it is? I don't know.
Because what the sperm does, isn't it, is it opens up the gap.
Check you out.
The gap. The jargon.
It's a brand new euphemism. Lads, we can't wait. Apart from discussing semen, what else is going to happen on the show today?
We've got a lot of stuff coming up. We've got an interesting thing we've developed with Facebook where we take from musicians that we're playing on the show, we take a first name and a last name, mash that together, find out if there's a real life person on Facebook called that.
Oh my God.
And then we play a song from one of their favourite songs that's on their profile. And also we've got Rhys Darby coming on the show.
You haven't. Star of HBO's
Flight of the Conchords
and a genius stand up comedian.
Yep.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's all happening. I can't wait. I'm listening already. It starts in approximately 2 minutes time. Katie Price, you've been epic. Depending on whether or not you produce another human being in the next 7 days, all being well, we'll see you in a week's time.
Yes.
You've been awesome. And thank you for everyone listening, all your tweets and emails. We're back in a week. I'm back tomorrow, Jared.
See you later.
Mark Dolan's awesome. Remember to say that.
Boom.